What is up, everybody? This is Marshall from Limited Resources, and you are listening to Seven Land Hand.
It's Seven Land Hand!
Woo-hoo!
Brought to you by Good Games Cannington
and Rockingham.
It was 1912 on the Ross Ice Shelf when Lawrence Oates left the tent and he said, "I'm just going outside, I may be some time." Scott of the Antarctic replied, "Well, bog off then, we're looking for an expedition. Here we are in 2015 and nothing's changed. There's no time to go in half-hearted. This is Battle for Zendikar. Our lands have full art. Decline a short walk into a blighted landscape. Snuggle up. This is Seven Land Hand."
That's a really sad story.
Yeah, that was...
The Antarctic story.
That'll bring everyone down.
I'm good. I've rallied. Right.
Oh, a voice.
Let's see. If you went on an expedition to Antarctica...
Two voices.
Yeah.
And then found $150, would you be happy?
No.
No.
What?
But that's what the expeditions are. They're $150.
Oh, a bit different, I guess, then.
Hmm. Hey, listener, how are you going? Here, I'm surrounded in a room full of people that would play Piano Man on a guitar, and while my guitar gently weeps on a piano. But that's for another day. What, Wolf, what a full cast. We're all mics operational today. Operating one of those mics, you may have heard him earlier in the show. Sultry on his spawning bed, Aaron Graham.
Hello.
Yes.
How many kids do you have now?
None from my spawning bed.
Yes, oh, loads of
plenty from my teetering peaks, if you know what I mean.
Oh, well, saucy. Yeah.
All right. I can't wink on...
That was a card in Zendikar.
Original Zendikar.
Yeah, that was really good.
Thanks.
Known to his girlfriends as a blighted gorge, Keen DeVries Turnell.
What up?
And grooming his fertile thicket, it's Lyle Anwar.
Oh, please stop.
That's all right. But this is why we're just audible.
Yeah.
We don't want to go beyond
that.
Wow. All right, what's been happening, gentlemen? What's been stimulating your geek gland this... last month.
I'm sure we can
talk
about
guys.
This. We went to Grand Prix. I went to Grand Prix Sydney. David was
I was
also
present.
There. David was at the Grand Prix. And Keith
did
wasn't.
You
what's
play?
In the backwards ass world of
did I play?
Sure. You played the take photos of Aaron losing game.
Yes, yeah, so pulling
did
silly
you
faces.
Won. So hold on. You didn't actually compete in the...
You know, no,
well,
I didn't.
He was there for a manager's meeting and he was very drunk.
I was present. I was present for the moment that Aaron, talking to a complete stranger, actually said the words, "I know everything about every card ever written."
That's not what I said.
Wow. I pretty much paraphrased that moment. I caught that photo as you were saying it, and then...
And then I went,
And this
sad.
Poor guy who was just sitting there was inflicted in this, you know, inside joke argument. It was like, "You just said it! You just said you know every card!"
I said it. That's not exactly what I said. It's kind of... It was inferred, but it's not... I didn't say those words.
It's pretty much what he said.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, right. Say it. I refuse.
Right.
You shouldn't be ashamed of your talents.
I think...
I said, don't have it. So, I never claimed it either.
Suits? Are you the guy from Suits? Is that your memory?
Which guy? There's so many guys. The lawyer or the guy who isn't a lawyer?
Don Draper.
Isn't
Don
he,
Draper.
Doesn't he have like a perfect memory or whatever, and Aaron just has that about magic cards?
Sure.
Yeah. And how did you go in Sydney, Aaron? What happened?
Well,
as our sole Seven Land Hand representative...
I had one buy...
Yeah,
from
that's a win.
Grand Prix and stuff. So
that's
that was
a win.
That was a free win. Start of the day out 1-0.
Hold on.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thanks, Ian.
Yeah,
that's oh god! wow, that really destroyed my train of thought.
Yeah,
you had one buy.
Second match.
Had one buy. Oh, came in, had a bit of had a sleeping special. So someone registered my deck for me. Went to sit down and build my pool, and it's just very evenly spread across four colours.
Yeah. You can rise above
blue
that.
Blue wasn't very good. So I played...
What he means is the blue-white cards weren't very hot.
But the pool was going, "Play all of us." And so I made an error and registered a four-colour deck with only two pieces of fixing in it. And
Aaron, I
success
thought you were
followed.
Smarter than that.
And then I won my first match.
Hey!
With my disgusting greedy four-color deck. Yeah. Showed someone else. They were like, "You need to change this, but you don't have very long." Lost my next round, so I was 2-1. And then changed my deck pretty much immediately to just red. Well, you have to start every round with the same deck that you registered. So I had to start every round.
And
just being like, "Oh, I hope you're on the right lands." Yeah. Oh,
what am
right
I doing?
Yeah.
It's on.
You throw them off, and then you sideboard into an actual deck, and they don't know what to do.
And when I won game one, I was like, "Wow, fuck, I'm actually..."
This is going to happen.
Did you do that thing where you had, like, a second set of sleeves with, like, 33 cards,
no,
and then you just pulled, like, seven out, and you're like...
It was so I was, like, base... red green, and then I changed the green out for white and played like pretty strong red white in my game 2 and 3 generally. So I had to change out 20 cards and memorize what 20 cards there were so I could do it quickly. So I had
to go get more sleeves.
I had to go buy more sleeves, re-sleeve my deck so that I could just change it out and not re-sleeve 20 cards.
Next year, the stores that are in, well, Good Games was there.
Yeah, they were.
They'll be going, oh, here comes Aaron Gray. He buys loads of sleeves.
He messed up building his deck again, and he's got to do a sideboard. I did exactly the same thing in Auckland. In Auckland, it worked out a lot better, and I made day two. In this one, I went 4 wins and 3 losses, and then I went and bailed and got drunk.
Can you hear that sound of listeners tuning out because they came here for how to play Magic well knowledge?
I want a bunch of drafts on the side.
Oh, well, there you go.
Sure, that's what I'm all about. I'm all about the side event drafts after I drop out from the main event.
And sealed.
Yeah.
Was that sealed? Yeah,
it was. Yeah.
Sealed event, wasn't it? So it was a Sydney GP.
Yeah, sealed Grand Prix in Sydney. Yes. SGPS.
And there were clouds in there.
SGPS?
Yeah, Sydney Grand Prix. Bracket Sydney. Sealed.
The extra S is for double Sydney. Sydney. Right. Yeah.
SGP, open bracket, S, close bracket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what everyone called it. In the
and the draft, how did they go?
Drafts went well. I won the foiled again draft on Friday night.
Hey. Yeah.
I won a side draft on the Sunday, and then I lost a really tense one in the meta game sealed, which was a side event. You build a deck, a sealed deck from Khans of Tarkir, Fate, Reforged, Dragons of Tarkir, Magic Origins, Zendikar.
Oh, hang on a minute.
So I drafted a really greedy... I built a really greedy four-color deck and crushed with it because there's actual mana fixing.
It's
Khans.
Good that you're learning
what you
as
mean.
You go.
Two-color lands in every pack.
Yeah, two-color lands in every pack helps me with my greedy as shit strategy.
Yeah, man. All right, Kian, I think we missed out in your Geektacular month last time, didn't we? We skirted around the table. So what's been happening? What are you looking forward to?
Well, what I'm looking forward to just happened.
Okay. And that, what, the start of the podcast, I'd imagine.
Warsong Commander can take a hike.
Oh, yeah. This is Hearthstone again.
Oh, okay. Go, okay. Hearthstone
update
with Kian.
We won't go too deep on
Kian.
This, but they did just do,
fuck you, Pack Rat.
Yeah, it was like the Pack Rat of the Hearthstone community was this deck called Patron Warrior, where they could just come out of nowhere and kill you really quickly with a thing that gives all your creatures haste, pretty much, in Magic terms.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just nerfed it and said, all your haste creatures have +1 attack instead. So the deck just died. They just completely destroyed this deck, and now it's like a open season.
Having said that, though, the Star Wars trailer was pretty good.
Ah, Star Wars trailer!
Star Wars!
What do we make of that, then?
I thought BB-8... So, for those of you who haven't seen the trailer, go watch it. But I thought BB-8 was tiny. Like, you know, like the size of a Coke bottle or whatever.
You thought the one in JB Hi-Fi was life-size.
Yeah, pretty much.
And we sold it at
my work as well. It's really small. It's kind of cool. I played with it. But like, then you see the trailer, and it's like half the size of a human, and you're like,
I'm getting the Jar Jar things coming.
Yeah, I was just about to say, when is this in the timeline? Where is the 7th movie in the timeline?
This is like 30 years later.
Yeah, 30 years later.
Because Han Solo and Chewbacca
so
are there.
Jar Jar thinks so Jar Jar is even more wise than he was before.
No. What I'm saying
Jedi
is...
Master.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I'm saying that robot looks... What's his name? B-8.
BB-8.
BB-8. He looks like the character they put in there to keep the kids happy.
Yeah.
So I'm worried that...
He'll probably run into a bin or something and all the kids in the fucking cinema.
This is the greatest movie ever.
Oh, BB-8. Yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
Oh, he's nearly as good as Jar Jar.
I heard Jar Jar's still in there. Jar Jar is carrying that series.
We'll have to kill Lars.
Yeah, you know how Luke's
carrying the whole series.
Yeah. You know how Luke Skywalker hasn't been in the trailer or the poster or anything?
No, he hasn't, has he?
I think it's because there was this really awkward thing where he was like, you know, leader of the Jedi Council and stuff, rebuilding the galaxy, and then he ran away and had a tryst with Jar Jar Binks.
So
that's the subplot in Star Wars Episode 9 when it comes out, when we're all like...
Save the premonitions for later,
They'll run away together.
No one's sure, but the main chick is meant to be Luke Skywalker's daughter.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No one knows it for sure. What's her name? Ren? Ryo,
who's the mother?
Hey, female.
Yeah, I don't know.
See, that's the weird thing about fantasy is that people just have children all the time with like only one parent. I don't know if anyone's. Yeah, I don't know if anyone's noticed that. Yeah. It's like, oh, you're the grandson of whatever. And it's like, yeah. There are no women really, in our society, but whatever.
It's just hard to construe like solid parenting skills in fantasy and stuff. And
it's hard.
They just go, oh, my dad, you know. Why am I your mum? Oh, don't talk about that.
Anakin's mum was doing the whole, Mary routine, wasn't she? Oh, I haven't even... No, I was just pregnant one day.
Fella.
That's just how it happened.
The Force made it happen.
Yeah, the Force made this baby arrive.
I read Star Wars Extended Universe novels, young adult novels when I was younger. Right. Jedi Apprentice.
Here we go.
And,
he's looking up at the ceiling like, oh, back in my youth.
Yeah.
But it's all non-canon now. But like one of these... that's the nerdiest thing I've ever seen.
This is why we don't talk about the extended universe.
It's all non-canon, I'll have you know.
It's all non-canon.
It's not canon anymore.
But she just had a baby with one of the evil Jedi apprentices, which is why he's...
Did she know it was evil?
No, it didn't. He was very good at hiding.
Oh, that's good.
He's the Force.
He was just this guy she met in the club one night. Turned out.
Using the Force sounds real bad, actually.
Yeah, it does. In that context.
Yeah.
It's just hard being a space single parent.
Yeah.
Space single parent.
It's difficult because you're in space. You don't have someone else.
Not much oxygen.
Space
bacon.
Space alimony.
Space bacon. The Force might help.
Yeah, like imagine you're a Jedi and you just have to change a diaper. You're just like...
Oh, yeah, you don't have to touch it.
Yeah, I will force lift you into the air. I'll use my force fingers to take that diaper off you. I'll look, here's some cleanie wipes with the force.
Yeah,
and
with
then
the force.
The gestures are really...
Well, when Luke Skywalker hits middle age, he's probably going to do like a gym's mowing service. But, like, it's all just him. Just using the force to mow everyone's lawn.
That's great.
So do you think with the absence of Luke in the trailers that something jaw-dropping is going to happen?
I think it's going to be...
He might be dead.
Mark Hamill's in it because, like, his name's in the poster.
Mark Hamill's in it.
And they were all in that black and white photo that we saw ages ago.
And he's credited as one of the highest credited actors on the poster, but he's not on the poster or in the trailer. So I think it's going to be a big reveal what is going on with him.
Maybe.
Or he doesn't turn up to the next movie.
Maybe he's the Joker.
Oh my god.
That would be good.
Crossover,
yeah. Marvel Cinematic Universe and
Marvel
and DC and Star Wars.
Here comes Spider-Man. All right, and Lyle, what's been happening for you, man?
I lost track.
You lost track?
I've been excited about Dark Souls 3 coming out like in the non-determined future.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been playing a lot of Dark Souls 2 and just doing really stupid builds. Like I've been playing where I actually don't use any weapons.
Oh, what? That game's not enough with weapons.
The game's fine. The game's fine. It's easy if you know how.
I played Dark Souls 1 and I died like 30 times trying to kill the first boss.
Oh, that one's hard though. Yeah. You're not meant to fight him. You're meant to just run through the door.
I'm not even sure I ended up killing it, and I was like, what am I doing wrong? And then all these
reviews...
What's
level 2 going to be like?
But all the reviews are like, this game's really hard, expect to die a lot. And so I just kept running at this boss, but I didn't read the walkthrough that said, oh, you're supposed to run around.
Yeah, the first one you can kill, but you don't... You actually don't have any good weapons at that point.
Yeah,
You're meant to just run past and kill them later.
It's like the last... Not the last Batman Arkham Knight, but Batman Arkham City. Yeah, they had Deathstroke right in the middle of that. And he was way harder than any other boss level.
Yeah.
And it was just like, that's what I was thinking. Halfway through the game, I'm going, man, I only just got past that guy after a squillion hours of fighting him.
You don't really play those games for the difficulty, do you? You play them to be Batman.
Yeah, and to get the free roaming kind of
I can be Batman in any bit of this city.
It was like one of the Spider-Man games. It could have been Amazing Spider-Man or Spider-Man 2 on the PlayStation 2.
I think I played that one.
Web around New York for ages. It was great. You know?
I was going to say, is that the one with Stan Lee commentating? But he commentates all of them, doesn't he?
I don't remember.
The Amazing Spider-Man. Whoever that is, I don't know who that is.
Hello, listeners.
Are the Batman games like really good?
True Believers?
They're supposed to be pretty good.
I've never played one.
Yeah. I played the Spider-Man game. I played the latest
Batman one. Oh, the Batman.
Yeah, we have it now.
Two conversations going on.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No. Yours might be the good one.
Yeah, they're like free roaming, like GTA style things with a bit, like very mission based. They're kind of RPG ish.
Batman.
Yeah. And so you just use your Batarang.
I love the Arkham series. I really did. Played it all the way through. But then again, as we talk about on the other, on the Board Games podcast, I get DLC screwed. I got right into Batman. downloadable content. Yeah, I'm buying that, and then just jettison straight out of it into Witcher.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is, you know,
I only like to play games that like that I go to bed feeling like sick and really upset with myself.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Like Dark Souls.
Like Dark Souls, like Super Meat Boy. I was avid at that. Loved Super Meat Boy. All those kinds of games.
Why do these games make you feel sick and hate?
Because you just fail constantly.
The failure, yeah.
And that's what's so gratifying about it. Yeah.
Did you play I Want to Be the Guy?
I Want to Be the Guy, the movie, the game.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Super Meat Boy, there's a great doco on, I think it's on Netflix.
I think
about
this.
The development of that and a couple others.
That indie game,
amazing.
The movie? Because it's in
that's
that.
It. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Really cool. Really cool.
Has Phil Fish and he gets all upset.
Lots of people have meltdowns in that. Yeah,
it's great.
Sounds great. I've got the soundtrack. The soundtrack to indie games is really good by Jim Guthrie. But I've never seen the movie. My friend just recommended the soundtrack to me. And I was like, I just had
that's
it.
That's just how you
roll. It's good ambient music.
I reckon we should bust the booster. Just like to say, Assassin's Creed Syndicate coming out this Friday. I've already pre-ordered it. I'll be playing it. We'll see how that pans out. Anyway, bust the booster after this.
Bust the booster! Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-dow!
Yeah, it's Buster Booster! And I can't believe I'm touching this booster.
Ugh.
We had a selection of, say, 8 boosters to choose from tonight. And they're Battle for Zendikar boosters. And what did you do to them, Kian? What happened?
This particular booster has come in contact with 3 beards, looks a lot like Dave, and has
that's
touched
Ulamog.
2 heads.
That's Ulamog. That's so mean. Oh,
it's
man.
Not actually Ulamog.
It's Ulamog's despoiler.
Despoiler.
He despoils Ulamog.
Oh, well, I'm okay with that then.
It's like, that's fine. Running in front of Ulamog being like, I'm here to spoil Ulamog's arrival. I don't want it to be a surprise.
Sort of Cthulhu of 2015 with antlers is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Sorry, I'll cut you off, man. What were you saying?
I thought he despoiled on behalf of Ulamog.
That makes sense.
Like the emissary is also.
But Ulamog's just like, oh, you despoiled me. That's Ulamog's voice, by the way.
Okay.
Just echoing across the plate of Zendikar.
What is that?
Like,
that is definitely.
Oh, no. You despoiled me.
Why'd you do that?
Why'd you do that?
That's really mean.
He despoiled him for all other men. That's how the saying goes, isn't it? No.
Despoiled for other men?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. I thought so.
Yeah. My lord, Joffrey dies.
All right. So if we open this. If we open this, and there's magic inside. Oh, see what I did there?
Magic inside
it's all to do with the beards, and and we'll be hiring ourselves out immediately.
To do with random chance.
Okay, guys. So you've played this a crap ton now, right?
Somewhat. A fair amount.
Yeah. Token land.
Eldrazi Scion and a mountain on the back.
That is a good mountain.
That is a nice mountain.
Yeah, Noah Bradley and man.
Let's
so good.
Talk more about visual things on our audio podcast.
They can look it up.
Are you going to say is Noah
good.
Bradley, Full Art Land? I'm there,
we
baby.
We are discussing the Mountain 265 from Battle for Zendikar.
Look at that. Wow, it's an interactive podcast.
Look at that and drool. All right, starting off, it's getting difficult
we've got one and you
to
can't.
Talk about. It's the Tajuri Stalwart for 2 and a forest. Who's a 0/1 creature elf scout ally with Converge? It's too much hard talking to get to terrible, right? Converge, Tajuri Stalwart enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it for each color of mana spent to cast it. So that can only be 2 at the most, right?
3.
No, it can be 3.
It's a green.
Yeah.
There you go.
I really like this card. It's an ally, trigger your allies. Usually, I'd say about 80% of the time comes in as a 2/3 because you're only playing a 2. Color deck.
Unless you're Aaron.
Unless you're me.
Going all the way.
This has been
greedy
80%
decks.
For me, a 3/4.
Yeah. This podcast is all about Aaron and trying to make sense of this multicolored deck that he
plays. I'm
really
just trying to get away from my blue-white aggro tempo decks that I draft every single format. So I'm just trying to draft 5-color grindy.
Do you feel you have benefited from hashtag variants?
Hashtag variants. I would say so. I play Forest Island Plains on the first 3 turns with no mana fixing almost every time.
And no cards.
And no cards.
Right.
Expert has been good to you.
Can't have it all.
So this card here, Tajuru, you're looking at building an ally deck.
It goes in green Converge decks. It goes in ally decks that are green and stuff as well. But like, you don't want to pick it up super early. Have
not
you
really.
Oh, no.
I do like it a lot, but I'm not going to pick it very early.
Mm-hmm.
If it comes by, then I know that one of those 2 things is going to be okay to go into.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, Clutch of Currents. It's an island, basically. Island. It's for a sorcery. Return target creature to its owner's hand, and you can awaken three for five, which is four on an island. If you cast this spell for four on an island, also put three +1/+1 counters on it. On target land, and you control. Oh, far out. Stuff that up. Yeah. If you cast this spell for its awaken cost, you put three +1/+1 counters on target land you control, and it becomes a 0/0 elemental creature with haste. It's still a land. This is the sort of thing that scared me off playing Battle for Zendikar.
Yes, it was. I remember this.
I couldn't bear turning my lands into creatures and then having my lands get killed. And where does that take me? I don't know. I can't live with that in that kind of world. so I ran away.
I really like this card. I'm biased towards all awakened cards anyway. Mm-hmm. But okay.
Aren't they all just nuts?
They're all really good.
Not all of them. Most of the white and blue ones are good. Mm-hmm. The other colors are a little more lackluster yeah. because they don't.
Isn't one of the white ones just 5-mana 4/4 haste lifelink?
Yes, Undo's Rising.
And all your creatures have life.
Everyone who attacks gets life. Yeah.
So
anyway,
on the cheap, you can bounce your opponent's creature.
Yeah, it's like a Silent Departure from Innistrad, which is just a sorcery bounce spell. And that was really playable in that format.
Although that had flashback as well.
Can't get any cheaper.
But this has, it's got the kind of utility early game if you're getting beaten down
could be
by
zero.
something, yeah. some tempo thing that you want to reset.
Yeah.
Or it's got +1/+1 counters on it from something or another. You can reset it early, but really you want to be casting this for five.
Yeah.
Make a 3/3 and bounce one of their creatures. Hopefully when you have 6 mana. So you can attack with the 3/3.
So we talked about this before, Kian, right? Where a card is good early in the game, late in the game. Does this fit that?
I mean, I think that's the beautiful thing about all the Awakened cards is their effects are not necessarily the greatest thing, but when their effects say make a 3/3 or make a 4/4, you're like, oh yeah, that's pretty good.
It's like a split card.
It's like a split card, and I'm happy paying both halves of the card.
Yeah.
Some of the other ones you feel way less happy about. Yeah.
Like 4 mana.
We might get to them. That one's actually fine.
Yeah, it's okay.
But the discard 2 one is pretty like,
Boiling Earth.
So just addressing my anxieties about the whole set, how do you approach the thing about having land turn into...
Okay, so there's not heaps of removal in this set. There is some, obviously, but if they're targeting your land with it, they're not getting that much of an advantage for destroying a land as you would in another format.
Yeah.
Everyone's playing 18 lands because you want to hit landfall all the time.
Yeah.
Everyone has... by the time you're casting Awakened spells, it's turn 5, 6, 7. If they haven't burned their removal spells on one of your other creatures before that, you're in a good spot. And if they just kill your silly 3/3 with no abilities...
Yeah, you've already gotten some effect out of the card.
Yeah.
So they're not always trading 1-for-1. It's very hard for them to trade 1-for-1 with an Awakened card.
Mm-hmm.
There is one card that does it, I can think of.
Good breakdown, guys. Good chat. Thanks, Kian. Culling Drone is one in a swamp for a 2/2 creature, Eldrazi Drone. He's got Devoid. This card has no color. And Ingest. Whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, that player exiles the top card of his or her library. Some flavor text on it as well. Good.
Yeah.
Culling Drone.
The sound in Balaged is
what's going
full
on?
Of skittering of the Eldrazi garbage.
Wow. Silence rules Balaged, broken only by the skittering of Eldrazi.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You've been reading up on all the flavor text. Week.
This is pretty solid. This is pretty consistent for Battle for Zendikar, right? It's the 2-for-2/2 or the 3-for-3. There's lots
text
of 2/2.
From this set specifically? Yeah. Whoa.
So Culling Drone.
This is one of my favorite bears.
He's really impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just does a lot of... comes down early, attacks, blocks, but he just fuels the rest of your strategy, which is going to be ingesting there.
So it allows you to do your stupid larger processing things while also playing a deck that just has good tempo.
Yeah.
The advantage of having Devoid on it then?
Devoid there is... Very little.
Yeah, there's not heaps of support for Devoid.
There's a multicolored card that makes them cost one less. One that gives them more attack.
Yeah.
Like it's just kind of like, what's the point in having an elf creature type? Like there's a tiny bit of upside, but realistically, it doesn't matter.
Elves
that
were
much.
Off the hook, though, in Origins, weren't they? Like, yeah. Helping each other out all over the place. They so were, it was definitely
like,
a tribe.
But think about in like sets previous to that. If an elf, like, there'd be like six elves and none of them really interact
it's
with
like
each other.
It's like a random minotaur that's thrown in there just because someone's playing, someone's playing a tribal deck in, you know, one of the other formats.
Yeah. And then sometimes I look at a set and I'm like, is this creature a knight instead of a soldier for any particular reason?
I hate that.
Yeah, and you're like, oh man, maybe they're seeding it for a few sets time where they're like, all knights get +1/+1and indestructible or something.
Because I don't know if you do this. Do you think, I just think of like knight, especially like knight and soldier, they sound more like jobs than races.
You know? They do.
So when it's a soldier but not a human, it doesn't seem right.
Like when you make a soldier token.
Yeah, it's just a soldier.
It's just a soldier. And I think that there could be any race of thing, but it's always a human soldier.
That's what I felt like. I was going through the tokens, and I just saw that core token.
Yeah.
And I thought, that looks like that's rubbish compared to the rest of these tokens. But then, like, some of the cards that generate it seem to be quite okay.
And it's a core ally.
There's a couple of them,
right?
Yeah. So it wasn't as bad as it looked. It just sort of, if you look at all the tokens set out, you're thinking, wow, here's 15 gnarly looking cards.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that one in the middle there? You know, that's just me.
But yeah, bottom line is like, Devoid is. It's more like a thematic thing.
Yeah.
It ties all the Eldrazi together, and it also gives them a way to look unique and make it feel like us versus them with Zendikar versus the Eldrazi. And also, it seeds a few draft archetypes, but not much.
It can be relevant, and that's something you need to remember, but you're not picking it primarily because it is Devoid.
Yeah. All right.
It costs black.
Yeah.
Giant Mantis is 3/4 for a 2/4. He's an insect creature with reach.
No insect synergies in this set either.
No, so proving our point is giant mantis rocking up just in time.
This is an alpha. Giant spider,
right? It's like it's they just scribbled out spider and put mantis in there.
Yeah.
So we all know giant spider, don't we? But reach. I read an article. Flying is still potent. So.
It is the best, arguably one of the best commons in the whole set is a 2/1 flying that makes a 1/1 spawn when it comes into play. This shuts those down. There's also a 3/2 flying in blue at common.
Good toughness, right?
It doesn't stop like the 3/4. Is that an uncommon?
I think it's common, but like it's huge. Yeah. Like landfall, like +2/+2.
Yeah, like you're probably not blocking it anyway.
Yeah. So this gums up the ground and he'll block your culling drones and such early. And there's some flying. There's not actually heaps of flying in this set.
No, there's not, which is why you lose when you come up against it.
Yeah, right. That's why it's potent.
You're like, I've got no answers. Oh, great. Feller's plummet? Oh, that feels so horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Felidar Cub. 1/1 for a 2/2. Sacrifice it and you destroy target enchantment. So you got your 2/2 with a... All of a sudden, if you're facing enchantments, you can get rid of it.
Is this the first card in this pack that's seen standard play?
Oh, yeah, this is seen a little bit of sideboard play, yeah.
Oh, well, that's probably...
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Like people, no, but
I mean,
enchantments have just
card,
disappeared
like,
after Theros went out.
Same with the flying thing in Giant Mantis. Usually, Giant Mantis is a really solid card in the green decks, and Felidar Cub is usually or other versions
enchantment
of the
killers,
Keening Apparition. Mm. They were good in their formats because they were
Silver Chase Fox.
Silver Chase Fox, yeah, that was even better though.
There's one
exile
more
thing.
Yeah.
But they're always good because there's generally quite a lot of enchantments. There's not heaps of enchantments in this set.
Yeah, we are enchantment light now, aren't we?
Yeah.
For the standard.
But like, if you're playing a white deck in draft and like you see a couple of enchantments and you're like, yeah, I'll side that in. Like, it's a bear and it has upside. That's always
exactly. I think a lot of the time you're actually main decking this card.
Just as
a 2/2.
You just need 2/2s, yeah, for sure. Well, quick question, do you prefer this or the 3/1 that can't be blocked by science?
3/1.
Yeah,
3/1. Every day.
So good. Oh. So good.
Hopefully
I
we open it.
With that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
So, Felidar Cub versus the, what was it? The
Culling drone?
Yeah, the Culling drone. What's happening there?
Culling drone's a lot better.
Yeah, Culling drone's better because it tends to an actual strategy, whereas Felidar Cub's
the ingestors.
Just the 2/2 that you put to
You can Titan's presence with Culling drone.
Culling drone is like a bear with major upside. Felidar Cub, is that what it is?
Felidar
Cub is like situational. Tiny bit of upside. Like it goes from like
you're playing it for the 2/2.
Yeah.
It goes from like a D- to a D, whereas Culling Drone goes from like a D to a C.
Because
of like the upside is actually there.
Yeah, because it's situational. The person you're playing against doesn't have any enchantments. It's just the 2/2.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Boiling Earth is one, and Mountain, you mentioned this one earlier on.
Yeah.
It's a sorcery. Boiling Earth deals one damage to each creature your opponents control. There's an Awaken 4 cost, which costs you 7, 6 and a Mountain. So you're going to get 4 plus 1 counters on target land. This is the one you mentioned earlier on when we're talking about Awaken.
Yeah, so this is the one that I'm probably the least happy with.
Right.
Because we talked about Clutch of... So Clutch of Currents is the pick for me so far out of this pack. Because both sides you're happy with.
Yeah.
At one mana, you're like, bounce your guard, Sorcerer's Speed. You need to do it. It's nice to have the option. And then at five, you're like, cool, get a free 3/3 out of this. This one is like, you don't really want to cast it at two mana because they can't have that much stuff there. So you're casting it at turn 3/4 and they have to have a bunch of creatures that only have one toughness.
Like Scion tokens?
It's four Scion tokens. Yeah. That's what it's for.
And that 2/1 with flying, it kills that as well. So I bought it in against those kind of decks. But man, for you to get like proper upside out of this, you need to have 8 lands.
Yeah.
And then pay 7 of it and then just do 1 damage to each of their creatures before you attack. It's just bad.
I don't like it at all.
I don't like either side of this one very much.
What's the curve like? Is like 7, 8? Yeah, 8.
You can cast 8 lands. Because it's commons at 8. But
yeah.
You're not super happy about it.
Yeah. Yeah. But nice pitcher, Titus Lunter. It's a good one.
Yeah,
Titus
Lunter, he did a bunch of the basics in this set as well.
It's going in my third
round. Here we are with the Void. Benthic Infiltrator, 2 and an island for a 1/4. He's an Eldrazi drone. He's got Devoid, and he's got Ingest, and he can't be blocked.
Yep. I like how a lot of the colorless cards have a lot of toughness, like all the gummy ground ones do. So like hopefully we get to see some of the red and black ones because they have like huge toughness.
Is this just to get us into the bigger guys so that it's just like, no point in having a handful of them if you never see them, but if you can gum up the battlefield, then you're...
They've actually done a really good job balancing the kind of... They can be very aggressive, but they always have high toughness. So it's there's like another one that's like...
Vile Aggregate?
Vile Aggregate. 0/5? Yeah, it's like a 0/5 trample, and its power is equal to the number of colorless creatures you control.
That card is so scary.
It's insane. Really scary. It's disgusting.
Yeah, because
it's a Devoid advantage, right?
That's one of the 4 or 5 cards that give you an advantage for it. But it's... Yeah, this Benthic Infiltrator, I've been like... pecked to death by this. Can't be blocked. Keeps ingesting stuff from your library, fueling their processes or whatever.
It's a pretty good blocker
himself. And also, like, on turn 3, you're getting beat down by some aggro deck. You can just block... block their guys over and over and over again. I really like this guy. I might like him better than Culling Drone.
I mean, I know in Sealed, I had this guy, and the guy that allows you to ingest to make a 1/1.
Just
like attack him, make a 1/1, attack him, make a 1/1. And like, it was just a really strong combo. I think that's one of the better processes.
Rob Grimsey of Seven Line has passed through the room.
Yeah. Sneaking past in the background.
There he is. There goes Rob. Sorry, Ken.
Yeah, that's one of the best ones to constantly get. The one that I always have is the pay 2. And draw a card, discard a card by processing a card.
Yeah.
And it's like a 3/5. Again, these are all to get to your big, big late game cards. And
yeah.
I played against a guy in a side draft at the Grand Prix who just played the 1/4, a 1/5, and like the 0/5 and the 1/4.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't attack.
You had a bunch of 2/2s and you
land 8/9. I was like, kill it. He's like 7/8. I'm like, I can't kill that one. Eventually.
Yeah.
This is one of the best ingesters, and just really solid card. Even if you're not really playing that much processing, you can still just whack people.
I get this every time doing this. The game seems so easy when I'm sitting here talking to you. I'm going, I'll just do what they said.
Yeah, just hit people with Benthic Infiltrator until they die.
The trouble starts when I'm at the table and it's just my brain operating everything. I'm like, I don't know what the...
That's really overwhelming to me when you you've done all this reading about the new set and you've kind of like know most of the cards and you open a booster and you're just like... Bah!
Yeah.
the rare... Like, is this rare better than this common that I've heard is really good? What about this uncommon that's like multicolored? Is it worth picking a multicolored? Take the common so that the person over my shoulder doesn't go, oh, the guy doesn't know that.
Exactly,
that's the best
right?
Black common or something.
But all I go is because I'm very visual with the cards, like I was saying earlier off air, that all I do is just memorize the pictures of the ones that are best and then have no real. you know, idea which ones hook up very well.
Yeah. Just like,
well,
how they interact.
That one's a good white picture, and that one's a good white picture. I remember those. Maybe we'll just shove them together, and this will be a good deck, right?
Every now and then that works out really well, because, like, you get the best often, cards trust of me. The color. Yeah. But in this set, sorry, David, you'll be punished if you don't have a deck that synergizes well.
Yeah.
You can't just chuck that and random blue, the best blue and white card. You can't take the best blue and white card in every pack and have a good blue-white deck. It's just like, it would be a mess. Wouldn't work.
All right, let's move on to a red card then. Makindi Slide Runner, one in a mountain for a 2/1 creature beast. He's got trample, he's got landfall, which means whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, Makindi Slide Runner gets +1/+1 until the end of the turn. So, what do we feel about Makindi Slide Runner? He's a 2, not, and you don't get 2/2 for him, you've got to work for it.
It's
a 3/2 with trample.
Which is a very good attack on turn 3.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He's very strong. This is the crux of the, like, red-green aggressive landfall deck. And, yeah, just the fact that he's a 2-drop that just attacks for 3 for, like, 4 turns after you play him.
Yeah, consistently.
Really, really.
I really like him in red-green decks. Mm-hmm. He's really good.
So when you pick up your hand, you think about mulliganing, and you've got cards like this in your deck, are you going heavy land? You know, yeah, you're thinking, well, I don't want to miss any land drops because then this guy's just going to sit there being a 2/1.
I've had some weird... I did a draft online the other day where I had 4 lands, 2 2-drops with landfall, and some 4 or 5-drop. I was just like, I just want to draw land for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Because the turn where you don't hit your land and you're just like, oh, I've got a 2/1 and a 2/2. Yeah. These are garbage now. Yeah, whereas if you play a land, they're like, all their blocks are bad and everything.
That's just the awesome thing about landfall.
Mm-hmm.
Is that... Yeah. You really like to have games where you're happy, like, just drawing anything.
Mm.
And when you're playing a landfall deck like this, you're like, if I draw a land, I get to just have a really good attack. If I don't, I get to cast a thing. Yeah. It's just like, you're happy either way.
It was why I love Khans of Tarkir so much, because you'd be like, either I'm drawing some cool multicolored spell off the top, or I drew another land and I can flip my dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it could be either, and then you attack and they're like, no blocks. Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't want to be throwing a 3-mana... 3/2 under the wheels of something like under the wheels of that.
It feels bad to trade with this creature.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But I really like the red white aggro deck and the red green landfall deck.
I haven't played a red white that hasn't just been allies yet.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I had like red white landfall. I think it had some allies like the first strike one. The Vigilance one just as a curve filler, but the whole deck, my whole red-white deck got shut down by him playing Benthic Immortal Trainer on turn 3. I was like, oh, I can't attack anymore. Landfall, and then you kind of want to save your lands for when this Benthic Immortal Trainer is dead, but then you can't kill
it. So you don't often hear that, I keep drawing lands.
Yeah. It's like, I can't draw any more lands, damn.
All right, Kian, Smite the Monstrous, take us through it. You know that one. That one's an old-school card, right? That's a reprint.
Yep.
What's he doing back with us? 4 or greater? I should have read it first before passing it to you. Give it to you.
Smite the Monstrous.
Go for it.
3 and a white. It's an instant, which is always exciting.
Yeah.
Destroy target creature with power 4 or greater. So it's good removal in certain formats. Mm-hmm. Does it fit in here?
Yeah, like you said, that weird landfall deck, it's all 3 power creatures beating you down from like turn 3 onwards. Smite the Monstrous isn't going to help you. I sideboard this out a lot, but there's always... Awaken spells, big Eldrazi going
to
kill.
I try not to play this because I'm probably playing like Sheer Drop instead in its place.
Oh sure, yeah.
So,
It's removal. You said removal was rare.
It's
specific, but then there's a lot of big stuff around, isn't there?
Obviously,
if you look at this entire pack, though, it doesn't hit.
Yeah, there's not a lot. Is that? It's not killing
it's
anything.
Zero of the cards.
Obviously, the point of this is to like strip down their massive Eldrazi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Aaron said, it also works on their random 3/3s that become 4/4s or whatever.
Yeah.
And if they pump their guy, then you can kill it. Like I'm wholly unexcited by Spider Monstrous in this set.
Well, speaking of which, Kozilek's Channeler.
Here we go.
5 mana.
I think I'm Smite the Monstrous this card more than any other card. But like Channeler, I'm like, kill that.
Yeah.
Like,
Sadly, this is a common, which means we've got 10 commons. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Don't count. Don't metagame. Come on.
10. So that means...
Just go with it.
All right. I'm just saying that I don't think Kian's beard rubbing technique might have paid off.
Oh, no.
That's fine.
Anyway, Kozilek's Channeler. 5 mana for a creature who's an Eldrazi. He's a 4/4, and you can tap him and add 2 to your mana pool. And of course, he's got it's five colorless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a 4/4.
I like this card a lot.
Really like this guy, yeah.
It's really powerful. Yeah. 5 mana 4/4 is also weirdly, like, I'm so torn between attacking with this card and casting spells with it.
Yeah.
I mean, like.
Oh, you mean casting spells by tapping
it? 5 mana 4/4s, right?
Like, yeah, man.
Yeah, I've played them
all day. Mm-hmm. And this one just randomly makes mana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't understand.
He jumps it feels he jumps like you to a big eight. Green. He jumps you to 8 mana the turn after you play him if you play a land and then tap him and all your lands. Right. 8 mana on turn 6.
I'm still not too sure how good it is going from 6 to 8 mana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in this because format. There's only the 7, like I'm thinking of the common Eldrazi that you're going to be casting. There's like the 8/9. And then there's a few uncommon ones. And then there's a 7/8 that you can process something for 5 life.
Yeah.
But that one only costs 7.
Even. And if you're putting him down, he's a 4/4 on the battlefield, he's ready to attack, and you tap him, then if you're racing someone, then race is over, right?
Yeah, it's an interesting pull, but I find myself attacking with this card a lot. On turn 5 is the biggest thing on the board, generally.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, it also helps you
cast your awaken.
Oh,
cards,
it really does help. You which cast, is like, cast your awaken cards.
Like, I mean, obviously he's there to cast your huge Eldrazi guy, but don't forget that you can just use it to awaken your spells and just attack straight away.
He's one for the Eldrazi bros, isn't he? He's like, was that line guy, bro, Brian?
What?
Brozilek?
No, Brimaz. You know Brimaz. This guy is Bromaz for the Eldrazi. Yeah. He's doing it for the bros.
Doing it for the bros. Bros of Lex Chandler.
We got there in the end. I don't know the name of every card ever written.
Colin All right, bro.
We're into the uncommons with Rot Shambler. One in a forest. He's a fungus. He's a 1/1.
No fungus energy.
No.
Yeah. Whenever another creature you control dies, put a +1/+1 counter on Rot Shambler because he's sort of rotten into the ground. But if more fungus grows, he gets a bit bigger. 2/1/1. We're getting better value, but it keeps growing.
This is one of those uncommon like build around cards for the black green sacrifice deck.
Okay, what's that like? Is that happening?
A lot of the pieces.
I saw a few of those cards.
A lot of the pieces are pretty cute in that. Mm-hmm. Not in a good way.
There's a black green uncommon called Catacomb Sifter.
Yes.
That says whenever a creature you control dies, scry one, and then you're supposed to pair that with a bunch of Eldrazi. And some of the rares that, like, you can sack a creature to give something -2/-2. But the pieces that you kind of... that make this deck really good, like Bone Splinters, and I'll just run Bone Splinters in most of my black decks anyway.
Yeah.
So this is one of the archetypes that gets poached a lot.
So you can put 2+1/+1 counters on it with Bone Splinters, right? Because you sack a guy and then you kill a guy. Is that how it works?
I think Rot Shambler only triggers on your creature.
This is another creature. Yeah, control.
Yeah,
dies.
There you go. There you go.
Ones that trigger from anyone's creature dying are insane.
Yeah, they're real good.
Algigariel from Modern Masters 2015 was nuts. It was like whenever any creature died, put a +1/+1 counter on it and add Shroud.
The villagers from Innistrad. I can't remember what it's called now.
Cannibals?
No, the riot one, the 2 mana.
Unruly Mob.
Unruly Mob.
Yeah.
That was really good.
They get out of hand really quickly, but when it's only your creatures dying, you've got to be sacrificing creatures and you've got to be getting some benefit for it. And this kind of doesn't really pay you off that well.
And you want to benefit for sacrificing creatures as well. You don't just want to be killing stuff off.
You need to have a lot
field.
Of spawn for this Giggles. To be amazing. And even then, it's just a big stupid. It's just a stupid creature.
Yeah, and if you look at the picture, it's bizarre as well. It's like a fungus guy, and he's just got a sword stuck in his back.
Yeah,
oh sure, because it's fungus.
That's how he rolls.
I'm usually pretty relieved when people play this against me, which makes me feel as though it's not a very good card.
Yeah, we've got a bit of a tier list here.
Yeah.
When you go, yes, they played that card against me, that goes in the third tier. Which
all right, what's in the top tier as
so
we go into
top tier? So for me, I'm probably picking Kozilek's Channeler out of this pack personally.
So far,
but that's up there on tier one with McKindy Slide Runner, Benthic Infiltrator, Culling Drone, and Clutch of Currents.
All right, cool stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to us. It's our second uncommon,
this is a good
right?
Pack, actually, it's difficult. Mm-hmm.
Carrier Thrall is one in a swamp.
Speaking of the black green set.
For a 2/1, when Carrier Thrall is this guy's a vampire. Whenever Carrier Thrall dies, put a +1/+1 colorless Eldrazi Scion creature token onto the battlefield. It has sacrificed this creature. Add 1 to your mana pool. Okay.
So I compare this card to... I know I shouldn't compare it to cards that aren't in the set. But is it Viridian Emissary? There's a 2/1 elf that's similar, not in this set, that when it dies you get a land from your deck into play.
Okay.
And I really, really liked that card, but I don't like this one simply because the mana is a one-shot thing.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me.
Yeah.
To me, it's the same as Culling Drone or the same as Felidar Cub. It's like your black deck. You need two drop. You're going to play Karrieth Thrall. If you have some sacrifice synergy, good on you, because you get two bodies out of it to sacrifice and make your Rod Shambler a 3/3. But like all of this stuff's not that great. Like you go, yeah, cool. I sacrificed my thing, and now my Rod Shambler's a 3/3, and I sack that Scion for like one mana one time.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, cool, play a 4/4. And
feels
like
you bust the moves, right? Yeah. It feels like, hey, I'm doing this, and I'm going to do this.
It
doesn't add up to much.
Yeah. Playing black-green in Sacrifice is like playing a combo deck, except when you get the combo, instead of winning the game, you get like two Eldrazi Scions.
Yeah, you get two Scions. Like,
and you're like, got there.
You get paint drying.
Yeah, and then later on in the game, you draw your stupid blister pods.
Oh.
And you're just like, ugh, I can't do this. Or you draw your carrier throw, and you're like, ugh, I'm already there, I don't need this.
Chump blocks, yes, I'm dead. Oh, good.
Well, this is exciting. For our final uncommon,
say Rolling Thunder.
No, we've got the card which I think the guys chose from the pack in the previous pod, Coastal Discovery.
Yes, we did pick that one.
Three
last time.
And an island for draw two cards. Everyone's happy with that. And this has got an Awaken 4 for 6 mana. And so you can put 4+1/+1 counters on your land. That's pretty good, right?
Man, this card's just... That's
off the hook.
This card's dumb.
It's really silly.
Man.
It would, like... And I'm saying this somewhat jokingly, but it would not surprise me to see this in Standard at some point. Like, it's so close.
Yeah, it does. It does quite a lot for your... For your 4 mana, I'm not happy with that. Because I barely play Inspiration, which is the instant one of this, so you can leave up a kill spell... Or draw
counter
two cards.
Or whatever,
and this you've got to like tap out on turn 4, but once you get past turn 6 and you say even on turn 7, you make a 4/4 with haste in a blue deck, and you draw two cards to back it up with. It's just this is backbreaking. Like, I hate seeing this card played again.
Yeah, what's the Sphinx from the
Guardian
from Origins?
Alhamarit.
No, I keep guessing. There was.
We need more.
There's a blue deck. I should go away and you guys talk amongst yourselves.
Blue deck and Origins. No, we got
blue
this.
Deck. I think it's from Origins, and it's every time you draw a card.
Oh, Sphinx's Tutelage.
There you go. Yeah. That's going to be a standard thing, right? Except there's a Sphinx's Tutelage deck, right?
Yeah, it's just a very powerful win condition. It's very hard to interact with because it's an enchantment.
Yeah.
You can draw and discard a card for paying some mana, so you get some benefit out of it just sticking around.
Yeah.
But this is more like Sphinx's Revelation, where it's like you pay a bunch of mana late in the game and then it's really difficult for your opponent to come back from that card advantage. This isn't anywhere near as powerful as Sphinx's Revelation.
No. Not even close.
No.
I was meaning this was more like a Sphinx's Tutelage aid.
Yeah,
because you just want to draw cards like crazy, don't you, for that?
You also still
that's
do you have Inspiration
and Sphinx's Tutelage on Jewels.
No, there's no Inspiration in Standard. There's
I was playing it on Magic Ooh, Jewels on the Xbox.
Inside, I think is the only one. Yeah.
Well,
is the only like decent card draw spell. If this is the only decent card, I think Ugin's Insight, which is Scry X, where X is the biggest mana cost among permanents you control. And then draw 3. I think you want to play that over this because this is only great at 7 mana when you've got 6 lands and you can make the 7th one.
When the set came out, the honeymoon period is over between me and this card.
Oh, is it?
So I'm seeing it with my jaded eyes now.
Yeah.
And
so it doesn't rank as highly.
It doesn't rank as highly for me anymore, but it is still incredible.
Yeah.
But as opposed to a card like Clutch of Clarence, I better not pronounce that
Clutch
word wrong.
After I read it, I was a bit worried that I'd said the wrong thing.
Yeah, well, we're there. Anyway,
we're there. We got there.
I'm not really that happy just casting it for its normal cost.
Yeah,
drawing two cards.
But then you said that about the first Awakening card, right?
No, the first Awakening one's really
good. You happy with the bounce for one? Oh,
definitely.
Right.
Yeah,
of course.
You're not
because
happy
you're giving
about
up on the other part of it.
But this is a thing that affects the board. In both times, and that one only affects the board directly at 7 mana.
Yeah. It's a lot more powerful
it's a lot
for
more
its awakening cost.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, I'm barely ever. It's a desperate move if I'm casting this before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to do anything else. It's the best thing to do with Kozilek's channel, I think, to turn up.
Yeah,
that.
Definitely.
All right, so for our rare, we have rare land. Shrine of the Forsaken Gods.
Oh, okay, just rip it in half. Make a decision about this. No.
All right, so because this isn't good, is
no,
it?
No, it's very bad.
It's got tap, add one to your mana pool, one colorless. Tap, add two to your mana pool. Spend this mana only to cast colorless spells. Activate this ability only if you control seven or more lands.
So many riders.
Yeah, I love right? So many conditions.
There are some magic cards that I love, which are like. Classically terrible.
It's gone straight to
I'm
the
not gonna.
Tier,
I'm not gonna say this is one of them. Because someone out there might like this card and you know fight the power, whatever. This is one of those cards that just gets worse the more you read it.
Yeah.
You know. Right. Did you feel that
good,
as you were reading?
Good job. I only read it once.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Just like, the Forsaken Gods. That sounds pretty
so like,
cool.
Add one. Okay.
Nice picture. It's
add
a
two.
Land.
Sweet. Yeah. Only to cast colors. Okay.
Yeah.
Only if you have seven lands.
Yeah. I know.
It so this is like going to help you cast your 8 drops, and I would prefer things that help you cast 8 drops on a 4/4 body.
Yes.
And can, you know...
Yeah, you're talking
so
to Kozilek's channel, right?
On them. This is a terrible card.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. It's unplayable.
I look at this card and I'm just like, I don't understand what happened.
Yeah, like, I think it was more
skill
powerful
tester.
Or something. Right?
Skill
like,
tester.
Wizards in R&D, like... They probably sat down and they were like, man, we want to make this card that just makes mana or does something. And we want it to be a land because lands are cool. And then...
Tap a land for 2 mana.
Woo!
It would have... Something
that's
went
like,
wrong.
Yeah.
Well, like, it's just like... This is... you'd be like, oh, I want to design a card that you can only use to cast huge Eldrazi. It's like, all right, I have to put all these stipulations on it then.
There's no way you can first pick it because you still haven't got the huge Eldrazi.
No, right? You don't have anything.
The thing that I don't even understand is the Eldrazi aren't even that good.
Yeah.
If this just said tap for 2, like say it was just tap for 2 mana, this can only be used to cast Eldrazi spells that cost 5 or more. Ugh. Like that wouldn't even be that good because none of the Eldrazi are very
That would
good.
Almost be worse than what this is because this is just colorless spells.
But you know Eldrazi Temple, the card Eldrazi Temple, right?
Yeah, from Zendikar.
From original.
Rise of the Eldrazi, was
Rise
it?
Yeah, it was in Rise.
Makes your things cost 2 less but doesn't tap for mana? Is that the one?
No, that's Eye of Ujin.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
He knows every card ever printed.
Oh,
ever,
sorry. I can't compete.
In the last 5 or 6
years.
Since Alpha.
Eldrazi Temple is what you just said. It's tap, add 1 to your mana pool. Tap, add 2 to your mana pool, only spend this on an Eldrazi spell. And so that was played in Standard because you could fetch up stuff with Eye of Ujin and then actually play Kozilek and Ulamog and the other one.
What a time to be alive.
But the thing is, like the Eldrazi right now are just not good.
You can ramp into Ulamog, though, but this
you
is
can,
gonna have nothing
it's...
to do with it.
Yeah.
But like... You can ramp into Ulamog. Like, in Standard, that is a thing you can do.
I thought we were talking about
your
draft.
Opponent just cast turn 2 Jace. You're dead.
Mm, yeah.
Because in that time, they've got to loot 3 or 4 times. Like, okay, what's the best case scenario that you can think of? What? Ulamog on turn 6?
Yeah, something like that.
Like, I think turn 7 is even a stretch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, turn 6, like, God draw. Turn 7, maybe. Turn 8, consistently.
Yeah.
But you've done nothing in those turns. Like, sup Mantis Rider, sup, you know, 1 mana, 2/2s. Like,
yeah, there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff that beats you down before you can do this. But
the entire
you know there's like, yeah, there's like mono green or like red green ramp decks where they just like have a bit of removal to get to that point, and then they just go Ulamog and then Void Winner and stuff, and you can just they're not good. But this maybe. On limited resources, they talked a little bit about this card, and they said it goes in one archetype, and that's the archetype where you have a bunch of stuff to cast, and you really need to get past that point from 6 to 9. Because on turn anyway. 6 to 9, you're not playing a land a turn. You're playing a land once every 2 turns, once every 3 turns.
Yep.
And if you draw this one off the top, and it suddenly adds 2 as your 7th land, and that helps you cast your 8/9 drop, and then you just cast big stuff after that. So it's a very late draft pick, and I don't see
completely.
It playing Standard, and it's...
Yeah.
It's not... I completely agree. It's not good enough.
Why is it rare?
That I don't understand. It could have been uncommon.
Skill tester. Like, skill tester. Rare land, I've got to take it. No, you don't.
Okay. Obviously, in America, PAX costs like $3. But in Australia, PAX costs $6.
$3 US.
Yeah. Like, if someone buys this pack, right, and that's their rare...
Yeah.
Like, how is that in
any
way helpful?
Dude, we just came out of Modern Masters 2015. You pay almost $20 for a booster pack, and you open a Thunderblast. Or a Midnight Banshee.
And I opened no Modern Masters 2.
Yeah, exactly. But like, it's not... But we sold out of Modern Masters 2015. Yeah. It's not for you.
Yeah.
Shrine of the Forsaken Gods is for some Commander player that loves...
No, sorry.
Stuff like...
No, it doesn't even go on Commander.
Bad
sorry.
Commander player.
Okay, yeah, sure.
While defending Commander.
I gotta do it. No one else is gonna do it. No other person on this podcast is gonna defend Commander.
All right, Lyle, which card are you picking? What are you
for
going
Commander.
For?
This is... for Commander?
No. First pick, pack one.
This is a real difficult one.
That is tough.
I'm not sure. Let's try someone else. I'm gonna flick the cards in my hand and think about it.
I'm going to pick Kozilek's Channeler.
Okay.
Because it goes in both the ramp strategies and in the bigger green strategies.
Doesn't commit you to a color?
Nope.
Doesn't commit you to a color. And you can use it to cast your Awaken cards in my favorite archetype, which is blue-white.
Oh, is it? What was that again, Aaron?
Blue-white, like tempo Awaken.
I love that deck.
Yeah, blue-white.
I can't escape. I keep making sweet blue-white decks for me to play. Oh, man.
Everyone at home, that was blue-white.
Blue-white from Aaron.
What are you going
crazy.
For, Kim? What are you happiest with there?
You want the shrine?
I've like
you can have it now.
Yeah, no, I'll rip it up. I've never drafted this set.
Oh, right.
I've played a fair amount of sealed.
What's your sealed pick?
all of it.
Yeah.
But like,
probably blue.
I think it would have to be between the card that draws cards. What's it called?
Coastal Discovery.
Coastal Discovery and Kozilek's Channeler. Mm-hmm. I think in draft, I would just have to pick the Channeler because it's colorless.
Yeah,
because
it's probably wise. Right?
Yeah, like I actually prefer the Coastal Discovery. Like, I think it's a better card, but it has a blue mana symbol. And if I can choose between a decent colorless card and an exceptional, like, colored card in draft, I'm always going to pick the colorless card in the first couple of picks.
Okay.
Just because it's
not committal.
Hey,
the guys sold me on Coastal
good.
Discovery in the last pod, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Lyle, where are
me
you?
Again. Oh, no.
You're rejecting Coastal Discovery now, aren't you?
Well...
Are Coastal Discovery and Clutch, like, close
yeah,
to you now?
Yeah, they are. Well, I think we've talked things out, and I'm probably going to give Coastal Discovery a second chance.
Oh, they've made up! And they're getting back together.
I'm just looking at the pack, and there's no non-blue cards that I particularly want to wheel. And I know Kozilek's Channeler is not coming back.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm gonna hope that I get, like, especially if I get Clutch of Currents back, that'll be amazing. But, I think the blue is the pretty safe bet from here, because,
Blue's so deep in this set.
Yeah, blue is hugely deep, and go on.
One weird thing that I saw was seeing some of the, like, more pro Melbourne players who, like, write for websites and stuff.
Yeah.
Watch one of their side drafts, and out of a pack like this, first picked McKindy Slide Runner, because they were so convinced that red, it was so deep that you could force it, and then just take aggressive twos, threes, fours, run them over before they can even cast their Coastal
Discovery. I think you can. Like,
I think you could. It might be a legitimate pick here, but I haven't played enough of the format to have that hard and fast.
So I've been drafting, like, at GGs and online and with, like, a uni group.
Yeah.
And the decks are a little more diverse at GGs because, like, the pods I play people are, like, better at drafting. Same with online. But when I'm playing in the uni group, like, the sort of more casual kind of crowd, then... It's pretty common for, like, four of us to be playing red or more.
Well, because they're not as experienced, so red's...
It's not that they're not unexperienced, it's just that it's...
Drawn to it, right?
It's so deep, and all of the cards are just so okay that you can just have a bunch of red cards and jam them together, and, like, a lot of people can end up playing red.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Good boost, Buster Booster discussion, fellas.
This is a really interesting pack.
Yeah, it's a difficult pack.
I'm glad the rare wasn't just like, oh, take the rare.
Yeah, I know. It's better when it works out that way.
Yes.
All right, we'll see you after this.
MTG card quiz 6 7 8 9 10 11 12
ABC
easy as ABC
MTG
Do-re-mi with a thing and see. Yeah, together.
I like CG.
MTG.
CCG.
Can that be the permanent extended intro?
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
Just sample that bit. All the awkward...
Everyone at home is going, no. We're sick of the short version that we have to listen to sit through every time. But hey, MTG Card Quiz, we're bringing this forward a little bit because we're running along and we're just going to bang the topic discussion right after this.
Bang it.
Bang it in. All right, guys. That's you included, Kian, on the phone there.
I'll stop cheating.
You know, he can text from his watch as well. Putting the phone away doesn't do anything anymore.
He's even wearing an Apple t-shirt. He's like a walking billboard.
He's always been like a walking billboard.
I know, right?
Do you like the pulses that it gives you on your wrist?
Yeah.
Have you gotten used to what they all mean yet, or what?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It tells me which direction is right.
Shouldn't you already know that?
Correct.
This
gives you directions by like tapping once for left and tapping twice for right.
Oh, yeah.
Coincidentally, MTG Card Quiz this week is on the Apple Watch.
All right,
question one.
Seven Land Hand now has an app on the Apple Watch.
Oh, Seven Land Hand brought to you by Apple.
It's not true.
I mean, we are on iTunes.
Oh, good games,
yeah. I guess technically we are brought to you by
Well,
Apple.
We're recording on a MacBook Pro.
Oh, God.
Ding!
Are you getting paid for that?
No, I'm not. We're getting paid for any of this. This is the worst gig ever as far as money's concerned.
I don't know. I keep getting bribed with these like chocolates and drinks.
That's true.
That's all right.
Yeah. But, I mean, we're all like 25 kilos heavier than what we were when we started doing this pod. All right. Stop it. All right. This is question one. As of October 2015, how many Magic the Gathering pop vinyl figures are there?
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh yeah.
How do you know this?
I've already answered, Lyle.
What the hell?
As of October 2015, how many Magic the Gathering pop vinyl figures are there? I've separated up. I've got the list of them here.
Hold on. Okay.
You can score points for naming them.
If there are multiples of a particular character, does that count as one? Or multiple.
I'm not going into that conversation.
Why do you know this?
You got.
Are we going to store why they sell pop vinyls?
There's going to be like, there's like infinite pop vinyls of everything, of things that are like, don't make sense.
How many Magic the Gathering pop vinyls?
I know
vinyls.
That, but like, there's just going to be dumb ones. It's going to be like, oh, here's one that's a monk token. Pop vinyls are so stupid.
How much is the monk token on?
Yeah, but here's a hint, Lyle. There isn't one that's a monk token.
Isn't there?
No, there's definitely
a dragon token.
Yeah. All right. Question two, so I can get out of this foul whining from question one.
Nah, it's not going to happen.
Battle for Zendikar boosters feature art from which cards? Battle for Zendikar boosters feature art from which cards?
All of them?
Not correct.
No. Keen's going to do badly today, I feel.
Crazy-looking dudes with hair? I don't know.
So, right.
Crazy-looking dudes.
I'm trying to think of the second word of the card, crazy dude with hair, because I know the first one.
All right.
Damn.
Question three. Out of all the reprinted cards, one was as young as Dragons of Tarkir. Which card was this? So out of all of the reprinted cards, one was as young as Dragons of Tarkir. So it was first printed in Dragons of Tarkir. Mm. Which card was this?
Cool.
Done. That's the sound of me shuffling my papers like a newsreader. Like, that's that job done. They always do that, don't they?
Tap my papers.
Yeah, because it's just filling that 5 seconds before they fade to black, where it's like, well, I don't want to sit here.
I'm trying to remember all the pop vinyls.
Yeah. It's going to show off. Maybe we'll come to you last.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah,
all right, question one. Kian, as of October 2015, how many Magic the Gathering pop vinyl figures are there?
I'm going to tell Lyle a little secret. Right. I picked a number between 1 and 20, 12.
So did I.
Sweet.
So I guess we're on the same page.
What is that number,
Kian? Yeah, go on.
12.
You've gone with 12.
That's not between 1 and 12.
He said 1 and 20.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I wasn't paying attention.
I think he misspoke.
That's okay.
And then you misheard, and then we've
it's
misinterpreted
it. It's just a big thing from
reflection.
There. Yeah.
Lyle, what have you gone with?
A six.
Six. Any names you want to throw out there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's the one that looks like Aaron.
There's
Sarkhan
Vol. Yeah.
Sarkhan Vol. There's a really disgusting Kiora.
Right.
Oh, yeah, with a vagina head.
Oh, come on.
Oh, sorry, this is PC. PCP.
Yeah.
Not that we have anything against women here.
No, I don't like PCP.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. And there's, like, there's a normal Nicol Bolas one where he looks really gross, and there's a golden Nicol Bolas one where he looks really gross.
So difficult to... Okay.
Am I right so far?
Well, I don't know. I couldn't say. You know?
Oh, my God.
I'm making little notes here.
And I just assume there's a Gideon and an Ajani and an Elspeth.
No Elspeth.
No Elspeth? I'm fairly certain there is an Elspeth.
There's like Ajani...
Okay. What's your answer?
There you go.
Ajani, Gideon, Jace, Nyssa...
Of course, Jace.
Sarkhan.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's like Vol or Dragon Speaker or whatever.
I don't think it matters. It's the character.
There's an Ugin and there's a Nicol Bolas. And there's a couple of others who I can't name.
Right.
Okay.
Do you want the actual answer?
Yeah, please. That was hard.
I'm pretty sure there's 13.
Right.
Whoa.
I think. There's no Nyssa or Gideon. Because I would have remembered Gideon's sideburns.
That's true, actually. Yeah.
And there's no Ugin either. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
there's two Nicol Boluses, right?
There's no Ugin.
Yeah, there's small Nicol Bolas and big Nicol Bolas.
Yeah.
But he's golden and weird looking. I got Ajani, Gideon. No Gideon. Ajani, Kiora, Jace, Chandra, Liliana.
Whoa, slow down. Ajani, Kiora.
Jace. Chandra.
Yeah.
Liliana.
Yeah.
Garrick. Sarkhan. Yeah. Elspeth. Nicol Bolas.
Nicol Bolas. All right. This was going off the Icon Collectible site.
Sure.
So it's all their fault.
Sure.
How many did you say? 13. Right.
Okay. 13, but I only got 9.
I had 12.
Shit.
Oh.
Are you serious?
Yeah. No!
Yes! Right. This is what who I had. I had Elspeth.
Yes.
Gideon.
There is a Gideon.
Yeah, I knew it. I've seen it.
Kiora. Nicol Bolas. Which I only had the big one. I didn't see two sizes.
Oh, maybe there was only the big one.
There is a Nyssa.
It was just the gross one.
There is a Nyssa.
There is a Nyssa, yeah. Definitely.
There's all the... She was one of the five main ones.
Does Aaron Graham look like Sarkhan Vol?
Oh, God.
This is the one I thought you'd never get. It was this Tezzeret or Tezzeret.
Oh, yeah.
My roommate has that one.
Ajani, Chandra, Garrick, Jace, and Liliana. So you could have just taken a stroll through the planeswalkers, really, couldn't you?
Yeah. I've never seen the Gideon on this one. Maybe we haven't had them in store.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
You definitely had Elspeth.
Lyle scored round 7.
That's fine by me.
And Aaron, you scored around 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That seem about right? That seem fair? 9.
Yeah, that's the 9 I got written down.
And Kian, you scored 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No for you, 5. And 6. 7. You scored 7 as well.
What's an actual number, though?
You just guess 1.
Seriously?
Yes!
Surely that's worth, like, 5 points or something.
What, the random guess?
No.
Shut up, Lyle.
It's a number between 1 and 50.
When you get that right, that's how you win a Pro Tour.
It's worth something. All right, question 2. Battle for Zendikar boosters feature art from which cards? Do you want to take it in turns on this one? Lyle, what do you got?
The Gideon guy.
Gideon man.
Guys, we're accepting Gideon.
Ally of Zendikar.
Gideon man. Are you specifically asking for a list of, like,
what art is on there?
Yeah.
What I'm asking for...
What did you think it was?
I thought you were, like, asking for an overarching category, so my answer is not lands.
It says...
What?
Battle for Zendikar boosters.
What sort of cards?
How do you not get
like, cards with good artwork so that they're on the boosters?
I thought you just wanted cards that were in the set.
So let's lock in
Battle
0.
For cards. Yeah.
Let's lock in 0
give
for
me
Kim.
2 seconds. No, give me 2 seconds before they say anything.
No, you're done, buddy. Right, Lyle.
I already said... I said Gideon, Ally of Zendikar.
All right, Gideon, Ally of Zendikar. Good. Aaron, what do you got?
Obnixilus.
Yeah, well done.
I mean, Obnixilus Reignited.
Did you have that one, Lyle?
I did.
You did.
Kiora.
So, Lyle... shut up, Kian.
That is a point. Neither of them have said it, and I provided it.
Lyle, what do you got?
Oh, is it my turn again?
Yeah.
All right, so we had Kiora.
All right.
No, I got more.
Did you have Kiora?
Yes, I did.
Is that honest? Did you have Kiora?
Yeah, it's right there.
All right, so that's 1 point for each of you.
Any hoozle.
Back to you, Aaron. What else?
Erlenmerg, the ceaseless hunger.
Oh, what did you have?
The spoiler.
Yeah, the spoiler. It was on the...
Where's the pack
there's
we
no,
opened?
There's no regular Ullamog on the pack.
No.
It's just the spoiler.
I thought it's coming down to the thing.
No, he's on the box, isn't he?
I'm not sure. I wrote the spoiler as well.
Yeah, he's on the.
I just wrote down all of the cards in the set.
Spoiler and all the mug.
All right, good. So you're missing.
Lyle, you're going for it. You see, I have both. Yeah. That's a challenge for scoring.
How many different types are there?
There are five.
Oh, okay.
So does Kian have to guess one again?
So we're
No, Kian's out of this.
All right, he's out of here.
Texting
so it's my
girlfriend
one.
Or something.
All right, the last one.
Yeah.
The last one is a 3-mana ally.
This isn't
Hold
going
on.
Hold on.
It's coming to me.
He has a picture with a funky haircut, and his power and toughness is equal
Every
to number of creatures you control.
Tried this, you guys have said objections, so I'm objecting
never,
to it right now.
They he's never let scoring. Me get away with it. It's veteran... I keep getting confused with the flyer and him. I think it's veteran war leader.
No.
Incorrect.
He got it right.
Oh. Yeah,
yes.
Veteran war leader. Yeah.
Yes. Nice. What's the other one? What's the flying one?
The flying war ally?
Yeah. The three...
Halimar Wavecaller?
All right. No.
The one that gets plus one for each attacking ally.
Oh, Angelic Captain?
Yeah. I get confused between those two.
Oh, okay.
All right. It feels a bit harsh because Aaron guessed... Six cards.
Yeah, I thought there was 6 ones.
But anyway, so the score check. Lyle's on 12. Aaron's on 14. Kian's on 7.
Yeah.
But
I object.
You just, you
know, would.
You
would, buddy.
You did 7 all in one go. On the first question.
I completely missed on that.
You started really well.
Shouldn't have been on your phone.
What were the cards?
Exactly. Exactly.
What was the general vibe?
That's what
of
I
the
thought
cards?
He was asking.
Powerful cards.
Yeah. Iconic.
I thought of that.
Iconic
I was like,
cards.
That's not a word. So I was like, wait, there's no lands. Not lands. Non-land cards.
Not lands. Non-land cards.
Okay. All right.
Last one.
Out of all of the reprinted cards, one was as young as Dragons of Tarkir. Which card was this? Stun us, Kian. What have you got?
Anticipate.
What do you got, Aaron?
Anticipate.
It Love. Was Anticipate, but I put Smite the Monstrous because I'm an idiot.
It is Anticipate.
Yes,
there
it is.
Is there, right? All right.
The new art is
so Lyle,
better.
You're still on 12. Aaron, you're on 15. Yes. And Kian on 8.
Cool, I'm happy with that.
High scoring. That'd be good.
Yep.
All right. Back after this with a bit of topic discussion on Battle for Zendikar. Hey, welcome back.
Hello.
Hey, Aaron. How are you doing?
It's me.
Yeah. So, topic discussion.
Yeah.
Battle for Zendikar. Here we are in the thick of it. Fertile thick of it.
Gross.
Yeah.
Pro Tour Battle for Zendikar just happened on the weekend.
Yeah, yep.
First big...
Where was that held?
Big event. It was in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. Hello to all our friends in Milwaukee.
Did anyone try and mill them out?
No.
Compulsory.
There were no mill decks.
Oh, we're going in a little bit mellow for this section.
Yeah. bring down the tone.
Yeah.
Seven land hand up late.
All right, let's dim the lights.
Seven hand land.
What happened?
So it was won by the first Japanese Pro Tour winner in 5 years, I think. His name is Kazuyuki Takamura.
Wow.
And he won with...
Congratulations on being able to pronounce that.
That's what you come here for. That's
just Japanese is really phonetic.
Yeah.
It's one of the easiest languages to read.
Yeah.
Because it's all just like... It's like consonant, vowel.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's what we came here for.
Hashtag.
Let's learn Japanese.
Well, you should.
Seven land hand way.
Easy language.
Same with Hawaiian, actually. Hawaiian is the same spelling. It only goes consonant, vowel.
Yeah.
Jeez, I wish there was a podcast out there where I could find out about Pro Tour Milwaukee.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Anyway, Kazuyuki Takamura. Yeah, so it was a Japan-on-Japan finals. Takamura was playing Abzan. And I've forgotten his opponent's name, but he was just playing Jeskai. And these people like didn't really stretch the mana bases too much. Played kind of a pretty standard Abzan and Jeskai lists from the last few weeks. Just with some new cards. I think they both played four Gideon in there as their big Battle for Zendikar card. So Gideon, a huge deal in new standard. He's really powerful in control
army.
Decks.
Yeah, he's a one-man army.
One-man army of Zendikar.
Ally.
It's a 4-mana pack rat.
Yeah, which is still busted as shit.
Yeah.
So there's Abzan deck, 4 Gideon, 4 Anafenza, 4 Dem Protector, 3 Hangerback Walker, 4 Siege Runner, 4 Warden of the First Tree, which is the new Fleece Mainline replacement, 2 Wingmate Rock. Wingmate Rock was everywhere as well on the weekend. 4 Abzan Charm is like the best removal spell in standard now. 4 Dromoka's Command, just to mop up small creatures and win Rhino fights. And then 1 Murderous Cut. And this is just this is probably the most standard Abzan list that you can get, and it just was really consistent the whole weekend.
Yeah, so what's he aiming to do with this deck? What's the battle plan? How do you pilot it?
It just plays good cards forever.
Yeah, exactly.
So you just sit back and do whatever.
Yeah, there isn't really much synergy, is there?
No,
it's
not.
Actually, like, Hangerback Walker is just there to be good with Anafenza.
Yep.
And that's it. Oh, yeah. Jamoka's command,
okay, hold on. Hold up there.
Go
Hangerback
on.
Walker is there to be good with Hangerback Walker.
Yeah, that's
I feel like that's not being explained enough. Hangerback Walker don't need no friends.
But he actually does have synergy in this deck, weirdly.
It does. Like, so the old Abzan lists used to play their two drops as Rakshasa Death Dealer and Fleecemane Lion, and those two have just been replaced with Warden of the First Tree, which is a one drop, and you can level it up for two mana, so it can attack for three on turn two, which is even better than Fleecemane Lion. In some situations, and Hangerback Walker, which is a two-drop that can just be the hugest thing on the board a few turns later because you've got mana to pump into.
And then explodes.
It is worth noting that he's playing four Shambling Men. So there were two man lands added in the set, and he is playing four of one of them.
Yeah, so Shambling Men's one white-black... Oh, sorry. Comes into play tapped, taps white or black. One white-black becomes a 2/3 white-black elemental with lifelink. And that doesn't sound like a great rate, but like the fact that one of your things that fixes your mana in this deck can also kill them and can also gain life against aggressive decks is just really, really
and
powerful.
And most aggressive decks are just attacking you with a lot of 1/1s and 2/2s. Yep. So like when I'm like, chump your 2/2, gain 2 life, you know, like you're basically blocking two of their creatures, killing one, you know.
Getting an effect.
But just have a look at this is not a ridiculous curve out with this deck. Turn 1, Warden of the First Tree. Turn 2, level it up for 2 mana, attack you for 3. Turn 3, Anafenza the Foremost, which is a 4/4. Attack you for 3 with my Warden again. Turn 4, Siege Rhino. Drain you for 3. Attack with Anafenza and Thing. Take 8 damage, so you've taken 14 damage on turn 4.
Wow.
And like, even Gideon wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah,
like,
Gideon on turn 4 instead of Rhino.
Just Gideon, Negate, because you have another Gideon in hand or whatever. You're attacking with a 5/5 and a 4/4. Mm-hmm. The 5/5 makes the 4/4 into a 5/5 or 4 damage. Yeah. So like turn 4 attack for 10.
So this is ridiculous. Like this deck can just vomit damage as well as playing a long game because all of the stuff in the deck goes well late. If you kill my early drops, I'll like attack with one thing and play a Wingmate Rock. And you've got to kill both of those as well. And then you've got two of the best removal spells in the format, Abzan Charm and Dromoka's Command, which can reload your hand, put +1/+1 counters on your guys so they win fights, exile their biggest thing, as well as that kind of weird combo kill of... That's seven... The curve out that I just said, 17 damage on turn 4.
Yeah, that's nuts.
It's just madness.
What is the way to deal with this sort of deck?
Kill spells.
That's a you just like, about killing everything.
So the Jeskai deck that was also in the top two had Draconic Roar, and it's killing you relatively quickly as well with Mantis Rider.
So Mantis Rider is a big beating because like when your creatures are small, they can't attack it and attack into it because it's just a 3/3 of vigilance, and like it just gets you every turn.
Yeah.
On top of that, like some of the cards in this deck require a lot of setup. Mm-hmm. So Warden of the First Tree, fantastic card, but you have to invest 3 mana before you're attacking for 3. Mm-hmm. If you then want to give it like lifelink or anything like that, anything else, you have to invest more mana. Yep. So some of the Jeskai decks were playing Jeskai Charm, and you just put that on top of the deck. The same with, like, Hangerback Walker. You know, like, you play Hangerback Walker for 4 mana, it's a 2/2, then you tap it a couple of times, it's now a 5/5 or whatever. Oh, look, I'll just put that on top of your deck. Not only are you drawing that card next turn, it took you, like, 3 or 4 turns of sinking some amount of your mana into it to get to that stage.
Yeah, so the Jeskai decks, we'll talk about the breakout deck of this tournament, which was Jeskai Splash Black, but the deck that made it all the way to the final was just straight Jeskai and just had 4 Jeskai Charm in it because it's so good against this kind of stuff. It obviously, it's not good against Rhino.
So these Abzan decks were everywhere. This was a strong...
Abzan... Yeah. Abzan was one of the most strongly represented, but they were usually a little... They would splash a fourth color or something in this as well.
Interesting to see in this Dark Jeskai deck that you've got John Finkel's... Oh, Owen...
Turtenwald.
And I took my glasses off. Turtenwald. Doesn't feature Hangerback Walker.
Does not, yeah. This has got other stuff to do at 2 mana, like Wild Slash your guy, Wild Slash your Hangerback Walker for 1 generally, Fiery Impulse your guy, And play Jace Vryn's Prodigy, which is just a silly card in Standard. We're selling them for $100 in the store.
Oh, wow.
And people are buying them.
And people are buying them, yeah. You just need to get them because it's just... it's a 2-drop that scales well. It's amazing on turn 2 because you can filter, draw, discard a card. Later in the game, you get to flashback your spells multiple times, possibly, by protecting him. So this Dark Jeskai deck is just like a Jeskai kind of... control-y kind of deck.
Yeah, well, it's the blue, isn't it?
This yeah, the blue, the white, the red, and then you do funny stuff like
when flashback. Splashing black in there, right?
Yeah, flashback spells with Jace. Use Ojutai's command to get back Dragon Master Outcast later in the game, which is just a one-mana win condition. And you can also get back Jace, Fringe Prodigy, and stuff as well. All the while hitting them with Mantis Rider. And
you got Banana King in there as well, Tassio.
Yeah, so the black splash is for two really powerful, well, three really powerful black spells in the main deck. Four. If you include the one utter end, I was like reading down the list. But
beautiful.
Kolaghan's Command, which is just very versatile. It's got four different options. Utter End, which is just catch or removal, just exile anything. And then Crackling Doom, which is probably one of the best removal spells. It's just going to take out the best thing on your opponent's side of the board and deal 2 damage to their Planeswalker or their face. And then, Tasiga, because it's just...
you play, value.
Yeah, just good value. You have a heap of fetch lands in this deck. You've got heaps of cheap kill spells and it just comes down on turn 3 or something.
And you're playing cards like Dig Through Time, so it's fairly easy to exile the cards you don't want.
Yeah.
So you can leave your graveyard with like 4 lands, 2 really good spells, and then you activate Tasker and you're like...
yeah, pick from these 4 great spells and put one in
your
hand.
Sure, yeah. So that's a top 8 deck then, yeah, is it? So that Dark Jeskai made it into the top 8.
Yeah, it had 2 copies in the top 8 and then quite a lot in the top 16, a lot of day 2. So this is the most popular, most consistent deck, I think, across the thing.
It makes you wonder if the fixing is almost too good in Standard again.
Yeah, like when you can just play a 4-color deck with Impunity.
Because even when you had Shocks and Buddies, you didn't really play 4 colors, did you?
No, ever.
Like, it was just unfeasible.
They don't really suit, really, right? Yeah. Shocks and Buddies. But this is just kind of like you have fetch lands, and the fetch lands can actually search out dual color lands in Standard, and that's
the thing. Is
and we don't even have them all yet.
Yeah.
The thing is though, you can't play on curve, so you can fetch out.
You
jewels,
can fetch basic
turn
lands.
1, 2, and like yeah, you have perfect mana, but you don't have. Nothing's come into play untapped.
I mean,
you can fetch basics, but that only works if you draw the perfect fetches.
Yeah.
So like. A lot of these decks are playing off-color fetches to be able to fetch enough of their dual lands, but this is slowing you down. So this deck is also playing 4 Monastery...
Mystic Monasteries. So this awkward thing that happens is you have this hand that's like a fetch land, your Mystic Monastery, and another fetch land, or say one of the battle lands that make 2, two different types of mana, and you can't play Mystic Monastery on turn 1... because what's common with these decks is that you need to look at your hand and mulligan according to what you can fetch out of your deck as well now.
Okay.
Which is not really something I ever want to be thinking about, but I'm playing a 5-color deck now.
So,
I'm thinking about all the time.
This Dark Jeskai deck, the Owen Turton Ward one, is playing 9 tap lands. So he's playing 9 lands that, if they are played on turn 1, come into play tap.
He's also not doing anything on turn 1.
But you can't chain Mystic Monastery into fetch land into battle land. You have to get 2 basics for each one to pass.
So like,
each non-basic.
You do have to work fairly hard for it, and...
well,
he's not actually playing that many.
Yeah.
He's playing 1 island, 2 mountain, 1 swamp.
It's not a lot to fetch, right?
Yeah, one plains.
They're mostly coming in tap.
Right?
But that's the thing, right? Is that you can just play an infinite color mid-range deck.
Yeah.
And apparently it's just fine.
Yeah.
Part of it, though, is like they're playing more fetch lands than they would if Delve didn't exist. So like, if Delve wasn't a thing, they'd probably only be playing 8, maybe 10 fetch lands. But they're playing 12, sometimes more, just because like... you know, like turn 3, fucking flip my Jace, play Tassia is just insane.
Yeah, it is pretty mental.
And that's actually not that hard because like turn 1 you play a fetch land, you thing, turn 2 fetch, play Jace, turn 3 you fetch again, you know, maybe you've like wild slash something and you do with Jace, and then oh look, here's my Tassia.
Yeah, it's weird that the best Tassia deck now, which was like a Zen card. The best Tazaga deck is now a blue-white-red deck.
That's splashing black for Tazaga.
Because you just, like, you just hit them with this 3-3. Like, Mantis Rider is insane. Like, Mantis Rider is actually just bonkers.
That's Mantis Rider, people.
Mantis Rider.
And then, like, on top of that, I get to play my own Siege Rhino that then just generates card advantage.
Draws you cards, like, as well,
that's so dumb. And, like, some of these decks are playing burn spells.
Well, one of the other top eights, Ricky Chin's green-white Megamorph deck. What's going on in that, Aaron?
This is a little bit more... This is quite straightforward, this deck as well.
Yeah.
All this deck is trying to do is grind out value against control decks with the Deathmist Raptor Den Protector combo. And then you'll see Mastery of the Unseen and stuff in the sideboard. But really, it's another Warden of the First Tree deck. You can play turn one Warden, turn two flip it up. But again, this is playing four Hangerback Walker, four Gideon. It's just got the Megamorph package, so that you can grind out the Abzan decks with your getting your Deathmist Raptors and Den Protector loops going.
So why do you suppose they're not playing black in this deck?
Gideon.
No, but they're playing Gideon in the Abzan.
Yeah, no, yeah, there's four of them in both decks.
Yeah.
Yes, but. If you've watched any of the Abzan games, they don't cast it on turn four a lot.
Yeah.
Like, double white on turn four is quite hard for them.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Makes
so
sense.
You do actually have to sacrifice that. And it's the same with the Dark Jeskai decks. The Dark Jeskai decks can play Gideon, but it's very difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're either trimming on copies or they're not playing on turn four.
So Gideon's filling a slightly different role in both of these decks.
Yeah, yeah. Which is why Gideon's so powerful, because he does... and then one of the lists that I really wanted to put in here was Sam Black's green-white tokens list, where Gideon... where Gideon's the anthem effect.
Yeah.
Instead of the first two... You just neg for him, and then all your 1-1 creatures are permanent 2-2s, and then you play your second Gideon in anthem, and all your 1-1s are 3-3s. Permanently, because it's an emblem. So Gideon's like this weird three-way split card that can either go on these aggressive decks to back up and be an indestructible 5/5 attacking, or make bodies for a control deck to get back into the game with. It's just
I was talking to Tristan in the maybe Sydney Airport, I think it was, and just talking about emblems. And the penny had never really dropped about. There's just no way to interact with them, right?
No,
once
there
they're there, that's it. It's crazy, isn't it?
Like, with how Planeswalkers work with priority, once your Planeswalker resolves, there's nothing that they can do to damage it in between you getting that emblem.
Unless you're playing Magic Jewels. Let's not get started. Don't get me started.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I would like to add that Tristan and I talking about Magic in Sydney Airport. We weren't the most popular guys in the. Who weren't flooding towards us to hear about how you can't interact with emblem
ladies
cards.
Ladies just throwing their clothes away. And
when
like, I didn't know that you can interact with emblems. Here's my bra.
Next time,
throw my bra at it. Surely.
Next time that situation arises, you can tell people that they go to the command zone. That's a nice tidbit that not many people know that.
Where do emblems go? Are they in exile? Can I process them?
Well, actually.
They're in a bit that you can't interact with. It's called the command
zone. They reside in the command zone.
I just call it the CZ, guys. That's what I call it.
The CZ.
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 Do you think in some point in Magic's history we might have cards that create emblems that aren't planeswalkers?
I don't know. It
It seems like an entirely planeswalker themed thing.
Yeah. Like, would you play a 1-white-white like spell that just said you get an emblem, creatures you control get +1/+1? Because that
so
effect
powerful,
has been playable.
What's the cost on that,
right?
Yeah,
because
yeah,
that effect has been
powerful.
Playable as an enchantment. But does that like
for you one can interact with that, right?
No. Exactly. That's what it's about. Like,
a
lot of decks can't interact with. Let's say a black deck, mono black can't deal with +1/+1. But that's kind of like at its core, Magic's about being able to deal with some things and not being able to deal with other things.
Yeah.
So that's why you play multiple colors. So not being able to interact, like, why would you not just make it an enchantment?
I don't know.
Yeah. It's
breaking rules for the sake of breaking rules. And in design, that's a really terrible thing to do because there's no point to it.
What are the most underwhelming emblems that we've had so far? Sorin's
one is actually pretty bad.
Whenever you play a spell,
Your opponent mills 5, which, like,
that's okay.
It kills them in a billion years.
Yeah. but like Jason's going to kill them in less time, probably.
The only reason I'm ever using that emblem is if I have this Jace, which I'm about to flip, and I have this Jace on enough loyalty to ultimate, I'll just be like,
do
ultimate
both.
That one,
porque no las dos.
Get this Jace back, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what was the worst emblem?
That one, probably.
That one? Okay, what were you going to say?
I was
going
to say...
One of the Sorin ones?
Sorin's one is like...
Is this the first one, or the one where they get plus one, plus zero, or a different one?
Hold on, like...
That one was
all
good
the Sorin emblems been insane?
Well, the one that's like at the beginning of your upkeep, sack a creature, can sometimes not be... You didn't want it in every situation, but then again, you don't want all your creatures to get plus one, plus zero in every situation.
But, like, Abyss U is really powerful, and to just have it happen
every turn...
The Abyss U.
You're talking Japanese again? Is that what's happening?
The plus one, plus oh one is technically worse. Yeah, sorry. I was just thinking about
context.
But
that's not an ultimate. That's a neg two.
Yeah, that's
so you have to evaluate that differently. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, you know, like the Sorin one that gives your creatures plus one, plus zero is a neg two. And that Sorin creates tokens.
Yeah.
So that's really good synergy.
Exactly. It was all about synergy. But yeah, making my guys have lifelink. Make my guys have lifelink. Oh, at the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice a creature. Like, are you not dead by then? Like, those abilities don't synergize. So I was never really incentivized to ultimate Sorin. You just kind of want to keep getting value out of him the other way, putting two twos into play and whatever.
But like, sometimes you need it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, of course. Like contextually, yeah. But yeah, Gideon, crazy powerful. He's like one of the best new cards in Standard.
I mean, the new Kiora emblem's pretty bad.
It's not bad.
It takes a long time to get that emblem, and then for the emblem to do anything, you then have to successfully cast creatures.
After your three eight eights that you get for free.
No, isn't it just like whenever you and
sure, but
you,
when you but when has, you activate has, it, you get 3 8/8s, and that's
did you not
fine.
Know that?
I do not remember.
Oh, okay,
what?
So Kiora's ultimate is you have an emblem with whenever a creature enters a battlefield under your control, you may have a fight target creature. Separate sentence, then put 3 8/8 octopuses in the battlefield.
Yeah.
So
it's not part of the
fight three things, but you only get it when you activate the ultimate.
Yeah.
But the emblem just says every creature you play after that also fights. This.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I did not know that first half.
Yeah.
You mean the second half?
The second half.
The one where you get the 8/8s.
The octopus tokens.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So this is a thing that people have been confused by. They think it's one sentence.
Oh, yeah.
Then it's like, whenever a creature enters a battlefield under your control,
it fights, and then you put in 3 8/8s, is what people thought it was.
Yeah, exactly.
So you just
get
infinite 8/8s.
Oh,
then
I see.
It's badly worded, and people are like, it goes infinite.
Yeah, you just get a million, you get as many as you want, right?
8/8 comes in, you fight something, and then you put 3 8/8s in the
But
separate sentence.
Okay.
Whenever you played a creature,
you got 3 8/8s.
No. I thought whenever you played a creature, you got an 8/8 that fought something.
Oh no.
Oh no. Yeah. No.
That's what I thought
it was
in my head.
It's weird, but
anyway.
Yeah. Kiora not seeing any play. Also, she starts off on like 3 loyalty and it's like -8 to do her ultimate, so it's never gonna happen.
So anyway, mid range decks and standard.
Too much fixing. Yeah.
Okay.
The fixing's real good. The control decks haven't been kind of sorted yet.
The dragons are
still there. It takes a little while for them to react to whatever the mid-range decks are doing.
Yeah.
Give it a month and we'll see some good control.
Because they are very reactive by nature, right? So if you don't know what the best decks are, you don't know what to deal with.
Paolo Vitor Adama De Rosa, or Pablo Doritos, he played Ataka Red. It was just like
I saw a game of that. That was cool.
What
I
red?
Mean, Ataka Red. Red-green, you play 4 Ataka's Command, 4 Become Immense, 4 Team of Battle Rage, and then a bunch of dumb creatures.
You just get them.
Yeah. You just like...
Like Swift Spear, give it... Was he playing... Yeah.
Yeah, Swift Spear. So
give it
Swift
plus
Spear.
7, plus 7, give it plus 1, and double strike and trample.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of wipe it across their face.
Yeah. So you can kill them on turn 3 if you have the right fetch lands and you Become Immense and another thing and Team of Battle Rage, and you can just kill them. From 20. That's pretty nice.
I mean, like...
Beautiful.
But that's the aggro deck.
Yeah.
There was actually some control decks that did reasonably well. Reed Duke and a couple of other players rocked up with just, like, pretty standard Esper control.
Sure.
The most interesting thing...
Not dragons, right?
Not just dragons. Control. The most interesting thing I found about Reed Duke's deck is he had main deck Arashan Cleric.
Oh, wow, yeah. Because you just got a hedge against... So Arashan Cleric's 1-3 when it comes to the play. You gain 3 life. And that shuts down the aggressive decks pretty well because they're trying to kill you with 1-1s.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Should we blob out of here?
Yeah.
All right. Let's blob out of here. We'll be right back.
Flavor text.
All right.
Yum, yum, yum.
All right. This one. This one has a theme.
Oh, no.
But I'm not going to tell you what the theme is.
I love it.
Right?
I love it already.
How many points can you score?
You can score 3.
Oh, good.
So, okay.
You're probably out of it, Ken. All right. Number one. It's the playing rather than the winning. Number one. Hedron lanterns fend off more than just the darkness. Hedron lanterns fend off more than just the darkness.
I really want to make a
flavor text number
podcast
one.
About flavor text tropes and magic. Because there's only like 4 different types of flavor text.
Yeah.
One of them is like making a half-assed magic joke. Yeah. One of them is this, which is like this thing that you expect. It's not what you expect on this plane where you've never been before.
Yeah.
One of them's just like really profound thing about the war that's going
like
on.
Like quotes.
The quote
yeah,
they're
quotes about the war.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
it's like, I never fight on an empty stomach, Arishin or whatever.
Yeah, and you're like, who?
Yeah.
My personal favorite were the like old school ones where they quoted real literature.
Yeah, yeah. They have like Shakespeare quotes and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Like I remember
really?
This like really
yeah.
Bad
like an alpha.
I'm not saying
quoted
did
the
they really do
war,
that.
I'm like,
you just like,
ooh, cool. Yeah.
I'm saying, really, are we excited about this?
Yeah, oh. I love flavor text. Well, not so much to study for this,
yeah.
But I do like it.
I like thinking about it, but I don't know what else they can do. It's a very strange medium.
When,
yes.
Yeah. When they're doing the best they can, I think, with it.
When my opponent is sitting there just flicking his cards and making no decision and there's no reason for him to do that, I'm just like
lifting.
Here's my card. Oh, look, that has flavor text. Oh,
test
that's
pattern.
So cool.
Just quote it at him. Next time. Or her.
Flavor text number two.
Flavor text number two.
Eldrazi are not the leopard's preferred prey, but they are better than no prey at all.
What is that from?
It's from...
I believe this is really abstract, really. I can't...
What?
I have written my
Eldrazi
answer.
Eldrazi are not the leopard's preferred prey, but they are better than no prey at all.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all right, whatever.
Kian's going for the cheat.
Theme, if it's the theme that I think it is.
My guess was wrong, but I'm not going to change it.
All right.
Okay.
Flavor text number three. There's two parts to the theme. I could give you a clue that these are all Battle for Zendikar cards.
Okay, thank you. That's the theme.
All right. No, that's not the theme, though. No.
I see.
No. All right. Number three. These days... Oh, this is the quote one, by the way.
All right.
These days, there's no shortage of food for the gnolls of Guldraz. And that was said by Drana, Calastria Bloodchief. Just in case you were guessing. These days, there's no shortage of food for the gnolls of Guldraz. Said Drana, Calastria Bloodchief.
Gul'dan versus Jaina.
All
right, man.
Suck
at men,
this game.
People. Flavor text.
Yeah.
Did you write?
I will score the whopping one.
You've got nothing
he
for question
as
one.
Well.
I didn't cheat.
He checked the card that he wrote down, and then he was wrong, and then he changed it. Sneakily.
Not sneakily. I did it right
really
in front
obviously,
of you.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not really in the spirit of the game, Ken.
I'm going to peek at Aaron.
Look,
I probably
have
the same one.
Cheat brazenly in the face of opposition.
All right, what do you got for number one, Lyle?
I got...
Hedron lanterns fend off more than just the darkness. What do you got?
They also fend off...
Eldrazi? Is that the name of the card?
They also fend off Eldrazi!
It's definitely not Hedron Network, but I wrote that down anyway.
Alright, Hedron Network...
Aligned Hedron Network?
Aligned Hedron... Whatever.
Whatever.
But it's probably that ally, right? The one with the lantern.
He's got nothing.
And
I actually do have an answer for this one.
You didn't write it down.
Stasis Snap.
It's Lantern Scout.
What have you got?
It's the one... Oh.
Lantern Scout it is.
I knew it.
Is the theme of this one... They say one of the words from the text in the flavor text.
Card title partially mentioned in the text.
Wow. That's a point, right? That's at least one point.
That's pretty good.
That's a super point.
What was the third point?
After
the first two, I thought the theme was card names that have the initials LS or SL.
Mm. Interesting theme.
What was the third quote? Nah, never mind. It's too late. I ruined it. I ruined everything.
I'll read it out. Right, you might get a crack at it because Aaron will answer this next
That's
one
true.
First.
Yeah.
All right. I guess Eldrazi are not the leopard's preferred prey, but they are better than no prey at all. What do you got, Aaron?
Scythe leopard. Scythe leopard.
Or what have you
He crossed it out. Yeah.
Oh, well, okay, to be fair, it's S-Y-T-H-E.
Did you have... Oh, good, nice. I know that everyone got that right.
That's the one I knew.
Run us through that, Aaron. How was leopard spelled?
No, he's spelled Felidar.
Oh.
F-A-N-D-N-I-R.
No, that's H.
That's a H.
Felidar. To be fair, he hasn't drafted the set, so...
All right.
My spelling of Scythe is not much better.
Let's do it.
Kian, these days there's no shortage of food for the gnolls of Guldras, said Drana Calastria Blood Chief. What do you got for that one?
It's the, like, vampire lady. I don't know what her name is.
No, it's not her.
Her name is Drana, and...
You get negative 9 points for that answer.
How
You're
pretentious would it be if there was a legendary creature and they had a quote from themselves at the panel?
Did Brumaz do that or something? I swear someone has...
There was no room on Brumaz.
Timoret, I think, quoted himself.
Oh, really?
What have you got, Lyle?
I've got null.
Null.
Well, what was the first bit?
It's like Thrasis or something null. I don't remember.
Thrasis null. What
is it? Thrasis null.
Thrasis
null.
I was so close.
So close.
He's undefeatable, I tell you.
He's
just
so
can't
good
beat
at
him.
This game.
So the final score was 13 for Lyle, 18 for Aaron, and 0 for Kian. Because he got punished for texting all the way through the pod and... Cheating, basically.
And cheating.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, brilliant. Back with hot garbage.
Hot garbage!
La Lanoir, hot garbage.
Mid-range decks being too easy to play.
Oh, he's going for a big, broad stroke. So. Yeah. Aaron Graham, hot garbage.
Stop telling me about opening expeditions. I'm very unlucky with opening packs. Stop telling me that you're opening fantastic $300 bills in your packs. Thanks.
All right. Kian, you know, the last name is too long. Well, what's your hot garbage?
Siege Rhino can suck a dick.
Okay.
All right.
Mine's just like expeditions. I've opened too many. I've just opened so many of them. No.
I'll kill you.
I don't have any. Oh, here we are again, just walking through this valley. It's the, that's the sound of a stream trickling by, a bubbling brook, one would say. Actually, I can hear thongered feet walking through the underbrush. And, oh, he seems to have fallen over. It's the muse, Aaron Graham.
Oh, I really
this is
my neck.
Aaron Graham's premonition.
I didn't know there was a visitor.
Aaron Graham's premonitions. That's what we're here for.
Hello.
Yeah. How are you?
It's very... Oath of the Gatewatch. Oh God. In Oath of the I really hurt my neck falling down by this babbling brook here.
Yeah.
In Oath of the Gatewatch.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There's going to be 20 expeditions.
Another 20 expeditions.
Yeah. That's 21 to 45.
That's
what
nearly
are
eight.
They?
That's nearly eight. There. What? Did you hear that voice? There's only us here in this valley alone. And,
Celestial colonnade.
Is it?
Raging ravine.
Oh, really?
Creeping
really?
Tar pit.
Oh, yeah. No.
Shambling vent.
Yeah.
And all the other manlands, including the three manlands that we're yet to see in Oath of the Gatewatch, all with alternate art, all full art, all very exciting.
Could you tell me, do you know, is there any Noah Bradley action in all of those? Do you think?
He's going to have done some of the artwork from the set, but I don't know. That's not really important. That's not
what my muse said.
The other 10 are going to be the Filterlands from Shadowmore and Eventide, which is pretty disappointing. All new original art, all full art. But you no one's really that excited about it.
Yeah, you seem to be fading away. Have you got anything else for us today?
No,
it's okay. Short premonitions then.
Oath of the Gate.
It's coming. It's coming. Yeah. Oh, he's gone. Oh, yeah. That's the tune. Yeah. See ya. Neats and twos.
Do we have a...
No. Neats and twos. I just yell
neats and twos. Well,
that's good. The hilarity is in that it's a spoonerism.
Yeah. I like that we explained that.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's a seven-line hand.
It's
unwrapped.
It's
something we're working on. Behind the scenes.
Yeah, some behind-the-scenes trivia for all you listeners. Yeah.
And listener, you don't want to watch that or listen to that.
No. It's us just sitting around in a room making terrible jokes.
All right, Aaron, what's happening in the Cannington Rockingham world of good games?
So we have game day this weekend. I'm not sure if this will be up before then. Big standard tournament. But then we do have a bigger one, Good Games Rockingham, pre-PTQ. We just had one of our first ones of this season. Won at a rival store by a local player, Ash Webster. Well done. He won the pre-PTQ. He's flying over to the regional PTQ. He'll be joined by whoever wins the pre-PTQ at Rockingham on November 7th, which is a standard tournament.
And it's worth noting that the PDQ's got a new promo now. So from now, the promos handed out are Snapcaster Mage, not Liliana.
Yeah. So you've got to fly to Queensland, to some random town in Queensland where they're holding the regional PDQ. Hopefully there's only like 40 players or something and you can get a Pro Tour invite.
Ah.
And a Snapcaster Mage.
Easy as that, hey?
Easy as pie. It's as easy as that, really?
I'm going to go qualify for the Pro Tour.
Yeah. See you in Queensland, Aaron.
You just flash in with a 2-1 and flash out.
I'll kill you.
All right.
By flashing.
So send in your comments. There's been truckloads of news on Matt's Modern Life.
Yeah, huge, awesome. Huge deal.
That's really good.
Yeah.
He's going really well.
He's
with
been
that.
Doing all right, hasn't he? He's been racking up at least a win a week with his red, white.
Well, he gets a buy consistently every week. Yeah, I know, right?
Just going to buy every week.
He's gone sideboard this week.
You got to start somewhere. And he's getting there.
Yeah,
I don't know
he
who.
He's beginning.
Wow, Hayden, I don't know if we've given anything to Hayden Hennessy, but he's going in strong now. He just did a whole sideboard deck list.
Oh, sweet.
Do you know Hayden?
Yeah, he's outside.
He's outside? Oh, let's give him a 7-line hand badge straight out of this.
He's either outside or he'll be in on Friday.
He's either outside or he's gone home. Yeah. All right. The two states.
I meant outside this room.
Yeah. All right, so don't forget to, comment on the Facebook page. We'll throw a badge your way. But don't forget to tune into the board game show for discounts and deals on the games we review. Currently, you can get 10% off Imperial Assault, even though it's out of stock. Maybe order one in. But before you order it in, say Jar Jar stinks to the staff at hand.
Blasphemy.
And you get a 10% discount.
It's the unsung hero of episode one. The Jedi would never have found their way to the underwater Gungan thing without.
Oh, you mean at the center of the planet in all the water?
Yeah.
That's
where all the Gungans live.
Yeah. That's what happens in the middle of planets.
Oh my
water.
God. A plot hole.
I said before, Jar Jar carried the series.
I hear your Gungan about it.
All right.
What?
Jesus. Hey, well, thanks for coming in, everybody. And we cut Kian off halfway through that joke. That was intentional.
It was worth
we
it.
We meant to do that.
He's gone back to texting.
He's gone back to texting.
Right,
he's barely been here.
He's barely been here.
Yeah. And what was his score?
Watched the Pro Tour.
Scored 0 in the MTG.
Didn't know anything about the Flavor. Well, he did, but he cheated. Oh, Kian.
Yeah, Kian.
We're disappointed in you. Your three dads here are all very disappointed.
Yeah. Go stand in the naughty corner. Lyle, thanks for coming in, man.
Oh, no, it was good.
Yeah, short notice because you were here to fill in for Kian who couldn't make it.
And then
he made it, but then didn't really make it.
Yeah.
So, but thanks for being here, man.
Let's high five, Lyle.
Yeah.
Well, nice one. Nice one, guys. Right, that was really high.
I was involved in that.
And there was all of that five. Aaron.
I don't want to do it again.
That was the first real 7-man hand high five.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we've never actually probably.
I'm not happy with what's going on.
Oh, God, we're going to get out of here. Thanks for coming in, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron.
Oh, yes,
Suda.
All right.
That's an old reference.
Kian, what can we say?
Where's the beef?
What could we say?
Did I do
that?
Yesteryear.
The guy.
Shut up, Kian. Lyle, you didn't get it.
We didn't need to tell him to shut up because he hasn't been saying anything.
So. Yeah.
Well, not really. We missed it.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.